nightmares. They have a way of coming back. First you have one, then another. And before you can scream yourself awake, you find yourself plunging into a Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors. Yes, it's your favorite bad dream, once again slashing its way into the hearts of America with...
Hold it right there, Squidness! If you think I'm going to settle for just another sleazeball video promotion, you must be dreaming! Show some respect, buddy! This ain't your average drive-in movie schlock we got here! Nightmare 3 scared up $25 million in its first 2 weeks in release! The total grosses, so to speak, are now over 40 million! It scored the biggest opening for any independent film ever! Why? Why, you ask? Freddy Krueger! That's why, sucker!
That's right. It's the return of cult hero Freddy Krueger, the same vile maniac who helped turn the first two Nightmares into video blockbusters. Nightmare 1, 120,000 units. Nightmare 2, 180,000 units. Together, these two hits spent over 50 weeks on Billboard's rental charts. And for the past two summers, Freddy's Nightmares have been the nation's top video rental titles. Now, it's Freddy's third time around, and he's all set to claw his way beyond the 200,000 mark.
Only 200,000? Wake up and smell the coffee, bud. It's gotta be a lot more than 200,000. You see, I have right here my own special sales incentive plan.
TV clips ready.
Enough about my persuasive abilities. Tell them about America's insatiable Freddy fetish.
Right. With the release of Nightmare 3, Freddy slashed his way to the top. He's a media phenomenon with featured appearances on TV shows across the country.
It's the biggest nightmare ever, but nobody's going to lose sleep over this one. Well, maybe the makers of Platoon, because for the very first time in history, a small independent film has swept the weekend box office grosses.
And the top money-making film this past weekend is Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, with $8.8 million in ticket revenues.
The number one movie in the country last week in Syracuse. They called in the mounted police to control the crowds at theaters. Out in Los Angeles, they chanted Freddy.
I've got a hit video on MTV!
From talk shows to rock and roll, it's a nationwide tidal wave of excitement building for the video premiere of Nightmare 3. The critics are hailing it as a terror triumph. The New York Times calls it remarkable. Terrific effects, says the Los Angeles Times. And Sneak Previews calls it a sequel that tops the original.
Critics? Nah, I've got them eaten out of my hand. But wait, there's more. And I ain't talking about a money-back slice-o-matic offer either. Check out the awesome in-store onslaught we've whipped up.
Right. Video stores are in for their biggest nightmare ever, beginning with Freddy's arrival on this ghastly in-store banner.
What a profile.
A traffic-stopping wall poster.
Colorful, huh?
A hair-raising 3D poster for your special media light box.
Disgusting enough for you, huh?
And a monstrous, larger-than-life floor display, guaranteed to have your customers screaming for...
Hey, who else? Nice likeness, huh?
Plus, Freddy's got a killer contest under his hat that's guaranteed to cause an Elm Street traffic jam in your store. Announcing Freddy's Be In My Nightmare sweepstakes. The grand prize, a once-in-a-lifetime chance to appear on screen with Freddy in the upcoming Nightmare on Elm Street 4. We'll alert your customers to this fabulous promotion with spots on MTV and ads in prime youth market magazines like Rolling Stone, Us, Circus, and Fangoria. It's a Fright Fanatic's dream come true.
No!
Yes, ask your media representative about this limited time offer. Don't get caught sleeping. Wake up your profit picture with a feverishly anticipated video release of A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. Coming soon from Media Home Entertainment.
Take it from Krueger. I'm going to give people a nightmare they'll never forget. All of America is obsessed with getting their hands on Freddy. Well, just make sure you've got plenty of Freddy on hand. Because every happy little home should have a nightmare all its own.
Bienvenue à la Boîte de Nuit. Welcome to the nightclub, where we are the ones who stay awake because we fucking crushed up our whole script of Adderall and stuck it in our foreskin and then super glued it closed.
Yeah.
It's the best way to stay awake.
I'm Travis Maxwell Boone, and I like to sleep with the lights off. Welcome to the nightclub, Nick. This is how we do it. Tonight I'm joined by
I'm 3-6 Rick. Yeah. Jump scare Jesus.
I'm Cody Co, and I live in Mamou. I can't read. I eat my boogers and I pee sitting down.
A man of culture.
Damn. Oh yeah, he's a swine about town, ain't he?
Yeah.
Look at that boy getting it. And that laugh. Who's that laugh?
And I'm Trevor, and I try to pee sitting down, but my balls are too big, so
it's like sitting on a donut, like one of those donut pillows.
No, he keeps a ball. Trevor keeps a ball towel next to the sink for every time he goes sit down pee, so he can wipe his balls off afterwards. They're just fucking dripping.
It just shoots straight up into the air. That's what happens.
I love how everyone came here for Nightmare on Elm Street, baby. tonight we have some returning guests and a new guest. Welcome to this fucking shenanigans. This is going to be a fun night. I think this is a fun movie. Tonight, coming back, the motherfucking lawman himself with the sexiest stash this side of the Mississippi. Boy. We got with us. From
this side, the Mason Dixon.
dude, Florida's best. Florida's best. We got with us Finest. From Shuttle the Pod.
Shuttle. I'm right when you're about to do it.
Shuttle the Sam, supping it
Shuttle
up.
Shuttle the Sam.
What's up?
Shuttling it up, jumping in. What's up?
Hi.
I'm going to ruin it.
I'm going to ruin it. I mean, gonna have a good time. I'm a big boy that doesn't get scared. Sup?
Yeah, boy. Hell yeah.
I like how Jarek almost died right there. Speaking of...
We're rolling out the hits tonight. That's what we're doing.
That's your goddamn
we're rolling
right.
out the fucking
Thank you for
hits.
Having me.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for being here, bro. We also have returning guest, the most beloved favorite special guest of all time.
Oh!
Goddamn.
Could it be...
J Tibbs, the motherfucking death metal cock rocker
just
himself.
The Tib.
Just yeah, the
just
Tib.
Just the Tib.
Just the Tib.
He provided us with, on episode 100, this dope-ass black metal theme that I would want to publicly thank you for on the nightclub if I hadn't before, because it's
no
fucking...
No problem.
And also, first-time guest, he is...
I'm a big boy that does get scared, though, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'd be getting skin-a-ma-ring scared. So.
Real yin-yang situation.
Oh, shit.
And I am false.
The yin-yang twins here.
Yeah. And I'm false bleakness.
False bleak Travis here. False bleak boom.
Joining us tonight, we have a first-time guest rolling into the nightclub who does some music with Jarek, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But tonight we have with us Mr. Nick Martin. Thank you for being on the nightclub.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for letting me hang out, man.
No, thank you for coming, guys.
Dude, please
hang
out.
Thank everybody for coming.
Oh, you're going to thank us for coming.
I hope you come tonight,
baby. Yeah.
Oh, come all over. Face, neck, chest. Pearl necklace. How does she die? Sam? Would a pearl necklace kill?
Probably. Yeah.
A pearl necklace would kill Pearl and X. Maybe.
I think the answer is no.
Actually, no. Yeah. She
would want it. Probably but it might got kill a couple. Her, yeah. Yeah. She would probably have a heart attack.
Yeah, she'd die on the way there.
Speaking of, did y'all see the Maxine trailer?
Yes.
Not yet.
I haven't watched it.
I'm so ready for it.
I'll see it.
I think it has the potential to be the best of the trilogy, is where I'm sitting.
I hope so.
I don't think that'd be difficult.
I knew we were going there. I knew
hot,
it.
Hot
I was
takes.
Waiting for it.
Hell yeah. Sam. Get him, Sam. Get him, boy. Get him.
No,
nothing to add.
You fuck that scarecrow, Sam.
Make out with that scarecrow. We're going to talk about a little bit of Chuddle action and a little bit of music action real quick. Sam is from Chuddle the Pod. You got frequent listeners listening in. You know all about Chuddle. But Sam, go ahead and pimp some Chuddle action. We're in the goddamn... it's the pimp zone.
Hell yeah.
Chuddle the Pod, weekly horror movie club where horror movie lovers have a feel-good time. Ooh. Me and two of my best friends, Ross and Brian, I'm sure you've heard talk of Chuddle if you listen to this, because we're always self-referencing each other on each show. But we do deep dives for the most part, but we also have like all these different questions we ask. We qualify it different ways. We really like to, you know, do our own thing, so it's really cool and kind of stands out. No big deal.
Oh, nice. No big deal.
Brian and I don't like Ty West. Ross does, so it adds a real fun dynamic.
That's amazing. They also have a goddamn Patreon, which y'all should jump in. I'm a member. And on there, you got Boiled Downs and fucking Chuddle Battles, where horror icons fight to the goddamn death.
That's
right. Now they have videos too. You could watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was already watching from their windows, but like now I can do it in the comfort of my own home.
Now you can watch both ways.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
I can watch them on my phone as I'm watching them through the window.
Right, exactly. He watches them for free.
He's a little taller in real life than he is on the screen.
Dude, Trevor's double cooking when he's watching Chuddle, bro. He's just double cooking. Sorry, this is so inside jokey. It's fucked up.
Death to the cooking.
Jared,
yeah, Chuddle the Pod. Check it out. Jump over.
It's slowly in the show notes.
Sam, at least it's slowly dying, Sam. You gotta admit.
The problem is it was dying, and then Travis released new episodes that we recorded in the middle of the cuckening.
And now it's coming back. Yeah.
Yeah, now it's coming back.
It's like the second wave of COVID.
So I was over it, and then I got back into it again. So
two of the episode names have the word cuck in it.
Jared, we're currently in the era of the cuckening. It's happening right now in the nightclub. I don't know why, but it is.
What's the cuckening?
It's just cuck. I don't know, dude.
Well, it started with a corner chair of a bed in a hotel in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then it grew from there. That's where the cuckening started. That was the origins, you could say.
Yeah. And we were impressed because fucking Boss Tuna's room actually had a cuck corner built into his bed.
Yep.
Yeah.
So like the
part of the bed frame,
backside bed frame had a spot where you could just sit back and, you know, do some cucking.
And we're not making this shit up at all. Yeah, this is actually real.
It's really where it really, really started. Yeah.
Well, thank God for that insight. Were you going to ask Jarek and Nick some stuff?
Sam's over it. All right, Jarek, please, Nick, tell us about the awesome music that y'all make.
We're together. We're in Father Rust. We both have other bands, too. Nick is in a band called Gloomkeeper. I'll let him explain that. He could explain better than me.
It's a dope title.
And then I'm in Golgothan, which has been brought up before. And but in Father Rust, we just play some post metal. We like to get sad and talk about problems and you know, all that not fun stuff.
Aww,
and yeah. Be artsy. Not- we like to be art. If I, you know, if Golgothan is our hatchet,
mm-hmm.
Father Rust is our Suspiria.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah.
I like
if that's
ties.
The way to if that's the way to put, you know, each of yeah. them in a horror movie section.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
So yeah, that's what we do.
I want to hear about Gloomkeeper because that's a dope ass band name.
It's like metalcore. We play metalcore, like deathcore, metalcore.
Do you have any songs about not having enough government cheese?
Mm. No,
you should.
Hmm.
We have a song that's basically like fuck cops. We have that.
Okay, I like that. That's great.
Yes, yeah. We can work with that. Yeah.
I gotta say it too. We did just drop an EP that I'm pretty proud of and excited about it. So I gotta
hell
say
hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Okay, so
what's it called?
I'll check it out. I like metalcore.
It's on Spotify.
Me too. I love metalcore, man. Yeah.
I filmed a video on like a VHS camcorder.
Oh yeah, Nick does a lot of VHS. Like, so if you see Father Russ do VHS stuff, like our little post, sometimes we'll have like glitchy VHS stuff. That's Nick usually.
So
we've been kind of like cool. Incorporating.
I watched Skinamarink and then just became obsessed with like VHS CRT.
We're not even getting into this.
Look at Travis, man.
Let's keep moving.
Wow.
We don't have 45 fucking minutes as long as the movie was. So,
do I need a
no? Yeah. Travis, awesome. Man, look at yeah. him, Paul.
That's yeah. awesome.
Look at his dumb person, little face.
Are you the person I have to call if I want to make a movie?
I mean, I'm down for whatever.
Yes, let's make okay. a movie.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Nick Skinamarink was my favorite movie of last year.
Oh,
anyway, all right, so we're done.
Same,
we're done.
Same.
With
anyway,
that.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
We can't.
Oh, shit.
Sad happened over here.
So to spare everyone all of that, I want to pose something to everybody here.
Oh, wait. I got to plug something else real quick.
Plug it, baby.
I just left Overlook Film Fest with a short that I was in. And
yeah, you did.
Coming out
yeah,
hopefully
did.
Soon.
Hell yeah, bud.
Watch it. It's called Spooky
Crew. All right, man.
I've been yeah, man. I've been sharing the posts from all that.
I clicked on that on Letterboxd because I saw Ricky's good review of it. I was like, what is this?
I think Ricky was a little biased, but that was very nice of him.
No, dude, I was honest. Promise.
I can send it to you, Sam, if you want. And y'all
yeah,
can,
for sure.
Just you can't share it anywhere or anything.
I will not.
Because it could get us kicked out of festivals.
Well, no problem.
But if you want to, I'm sure our producer wouldn't mind because I just have to get his okay first.
Your producer, like the guy, the one that's like, man, what's a podcast? I don't know about all that.
Yeah. Nice. Donnie, I do. I'm from Abbeville. Dude, anytime you bring this back, I'm going to start fucking
booking. I'm fucking die.
Jerry, do
fucking it. Abbeville.
Do that dude
Donnie,
for a minute. Yeah.
If you listen to this, Donnie, I love you. But I'm from God, Abbeville. Yeah. If you make me mad, I'm going to piss in that trash can. I told that teacher to go fuck herself.
that's an accurate portrayal of an Abbeville person. By
the
way.
Shit, the best way to explain
yeah,
Donnie,
that's Donnie.
Too, he can look,
that's Donnie.
He can look just like Dr. Loomis if he puts on a trench coat. And I keep telling him every year for Halloween, I'm like, why don't you go as Dr. Loomis? It's the easiest outfit. Bro, I hate dressing up. I was like, just put on a goddamn trench coat.
I hate dressing up. Him and Aaron were fucking the Grady twins for Halloween, but he hates dressing up.
They redid it at Overlook, too.
That's amazing.
Nice.
That was actually... Oh, and Madeline hugged Barbara Crampton. Or Barbara Crampton hugged Madeline.
I'm so jealous.
That was pretty crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
we saw Larry Fessenden's new movie, Blackout. That's really good.
Nice.
I
want to
see that. That's the one he made, right?
Yeah, it's a werewolf movie. Really, really good, though.
Oh, hell yeah.
We saw In a Violent Nature.
Mm. Ooh, how was that?
POV Friday the 13th.
Very cool. It's very cool. Okay. Oh, and I met Phil Anselmo. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
All right. So crazy. Now, I got something to pose to everybody before we jump into tonight's film.
Hey, it might be a piece of shit, I know, but hey, it was still neat.
a legend in the rock scene.
Exactly.
So,
you can. That's all.
It's Phil Anselmo.
That's
man.
It.
Phil
yeah, Anselmo. I mean, it was just, you know, I don't look at him as that kind of piece of shit dude he is. I just look at him as a singer of Pantera. And that's...
So, to keep it on the fucking docket here, whatever the fucking phrase I'm trying to find, I want to ask...
Dockin'? Did you just say Dockin'?
Docket, but Docket's relevant. It's relevant. It's relevant. Let me paint a picture for all y'all real quick. So you go to bed. Yeah, close your eyes. You just masturbated and you just you just drank your warm glass of milk. And so you're ready for Betty Buys. And Cowboy Curtis comes and tucks you in. And then you fall asleep.
Like he does. Yeah.
Then you wake up and it's the Elm Street house and it's gnarly and it's overgrown and it hasn't been fucking, that no one's come and blasted all that fucking tree shit off of it in forever. I don't know what the water pressure, what is that shit called?
Pressure washing?
Yeah, pressure washing.
No one's pressure washed that house in a long time, bro.
They haven't done anything. It's just nasty. And there's still bars on it.
Vines and moss and spiders.
It's a horrible, horrible house.
Them daddy long legs.
Yeah, there's a whole nest of them, and Franklin's constantly blowing raspberries. So you just like, oh, shit.
Franklin's a G.
So yeah. you're in a nightmare, and now it is the Freddy house that you're outside of.
Yeah.
What is your dream power?
Dude, I can vomit and shit fire endlessly and lava on people. That's my Freddy power.
That's your dream warrior power.
Yeah. So we're all and I can come fire too.
Okay, we're all dream warriors now. So everybody, what's your dream warrior power for tonight?
I'd have some kind of magic skateboard.
Yeah?
Dope. Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, skate around and also like use it as a weapon, you know what I mean?
For like sure. Captain America, man. You could be like throwing it and then it comes back to you and you
fucking
flip do a out. Sick kickflip and knock him in the face with it. Yeah, man.
Ollie like, you know, 10 feet in there. Almost like a super jump, but a super Ollie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. While Sam's skating around, the fucking Tony Hawk 2 soundtrack is playing out loud.
Automatically goes
for sure.
Automatically, yeah. Yeah. Better wash your face if you must. And he's just like grinding across a sea of zombies, just melting their faces.
Yeah, dude.
I would have a guitar that shoots like electricity or something.
That's
like
what
that.
The fuck I was gonna
you
say.
You took mine too, damn it.
Hey, I don't know what the fuck to tell y'all.
Nick, you could have like a chainsaw guitar, I don't know.
You could have the Devil May Cry guitar that becomes a scythe.
Well, I was thinking
that thing is
like,
pretty sick.
The trailer for Death Stranding 2, the dude has that sick guitar. Mm-hmm. It was like shooting lightning and shit out. That's what I was thinking.
That like would be six string samurai.
I would be John Wick, straight up.
John Wick.
Cody is Cody Reeves.
Keanu Reeves is Cody
Cooks. If there's anybody who's got a chance, I would say John Wick's got a chance.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I'm going full basket. Kids.
You become a little basket critter half brother?
Yeah, super strength, and I can grind anybody into the dust.
While you scream endlessly into the night?
Yes. So while I scream endlessly.
Does like your nutsack become the little guy and it just kills people?
Well, so it super expands around my body.
Oh fuck! And then you turn into it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're just like kind of inside it, protected by the.
Yeah, this is me right there.
It's like one of the balls that you can go down the hills in.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, yeah, man. It's a thick carapace that like is flexible. Yeah, dude. I can dig it.
Hell yeah! Nice thick flexible carapace.
Yeah. That's a nice, big, flexible carapace you got, bro.
My dream power, since Jarek, I was going to have like a guitar that when you play a chord or a note, and depending on the chords or notes you play, it does different spells and shit. But fuck all that.
I would do that.
I'm not going to be a bard, so that's Jarek. Yeah. So my dream power, I make everyone shorter than me. Because I'm short as fuck, so they're all shorter than me.
That
so
makes
I can
sense.
I can bully them easier, right?
You want to make yourself taller? You'd make
them. No, I make them shorter. Yeah,
yes, I like that. I like that.
And
fuck you, I'm not the problem. Y'all are.
And they all have one ball now.
They didn't have one before.
Wait, does Trevor's power still work then?
Yes.
Well, yeah, he's on my team. Yeah, we're on the same team. Team.
Oh,
fuck
so
Freddy.
We're still taller.
Yeah.
Enemies are shorter.
Yeah, it's just Freddy. Fuck Freddy. He's shorter.
Okay.
And he's got one ball. One burnt little.
Burnt little pecan rudder.
Cajun word for nut. or ball?
It's a pecan.
Oh, I thought you were saying that because it's like a nut. You know what I mean?
Well, it is. Yeah, exactly. Pecan. Pecan?
I don't know.
A pecan.
A pecan pie.
Yeah, baby.
Pecan. Pecan. Pecan.
I like when people say pecan. Like they just make that fucking N at the end so long.
Gone pecan. Gone pecan.
Man, they got that. Man, they made a pecan pie.
It's Mamu, dude. That's all Mamu. That does.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Fuck me.
Dude, Basil, too. Don't worry.
Yeah, Jarek, by the way, Sam, Jarek's from a town like not far from us, bro.
Yeah.
So, like the next town over type of deal?
Kind of. 25 minutes away.
Well,
maybe.
Actually, in between our towns is the one big town that had and stuff
that
like
had
that.
Had the single Walmart.
Okay, yeah. Did you guys meet at Walmart looking at horror movies?
No.
It could have happened, but no.
Ricky, you and Jarek. This is a little origin story.
I just met Jarek through friends that I had in Basil. I don't even remember.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, we met online.
Well, yeah, but I had met you before. You just don't remember. But it's cool. It's cool. I'm not trying to make it like that, dude. I'm not.
Sorry.
But you just
who? Well, wait, what friends?
Dox him, I was friends with like Andy Duhaw.
I don't even know who that is.
what was his fucking name? Jordan Markintel.
Okay, I know Jordan Markintel.
Yeah, that guy. Okay. And what was the other? Anyway, I knew you through people over there. And when we actually, who was it? It was like me and Josh McClellan and Alex Saucier.
I know Alex Saucier. Yeah.
Went.
Everybody's getting their full name called out.
This is amazing. I didn't mean for this to happen. But
all right. Well, hey, bro. Hey, I mean, what? You want me to stop? I don't know.
No, it's funny.
So anyway, we went see. Was it Hate Breed and Chimera? And you guys were like opening with this horrible machine.
Oh yeah.
Cool. So
Grant Street.
Yeah, at the Grant Street Dance Hall. Yeah, mm-hmm. Same place where Travis and Cody and I saw Gwar.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Y'all open for Hatebreed?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. It was incredible.
That's fucking legit.
I didn't know that.
It was them. Legit. They opened, and it was Municipal Waste, Dying Fetus.
Yep. Winds of Plague.
Winds of Plague. Fucking Hate Breeding Chimera, dude. Like, it was
a fucking great show.
It was a killer bill, dude. Like, it was sick.
Damn, dude.
I think that was, like, I don't know. No, we had talked before that, because I remember being like, yeah, I know that guy. But whatever.
I recognize him up there. I seen him at the Walmart.
I saw him at Walmart. He didn't want to make eye contact with me.
Did everybody hear? Hold on. Did everybody hear Sam's Cajun accent though?
Yeah,
kind of like Steven Seagal's.
I saw him at the Walmart. I love it. I love it, Sam. All right, let's get Gone Pecan. Let's dive into this. What you're gonna want to do for tonight's movie is you're gonna want to skip your next dose of Hypnosil. You're going to want to stab the next giant dick that's coming towards you in the eye. That one-eyed Willie. Stab that shit.
What you're going to want to do is have Lawrence Fishburne agree to pick you up and carry you to bed every night before you hurl yourself off the ledge.
God damn.
Get emasculated by Cowboy Curtis, baby.
What you're going to want to do is hide your favorite pack of cigarettes in your rectum, because you won't be able to burn yourself later in the movie, because they'll take them away from you if they find them, and that would suck.
Can I please burn myself tonight, Cowboy Curtis? Can I please? Can I please, Bill Maher?
Right.
Dr. What? Bill Maher?
Yeah, Dr. Bill Maher, whose line is it anyway, looking ass? Yeah.
Ryan C, not Seacrest. Yeah, whatever that fucking Ryan is from
Styles.
Ryan Styles, there you go. Love Ryan.
Apparently not much. You didn't even remember his last name. Man, fucking whatever is his name?
Hey, man, you don't even remember.
You know, fucking Rod or something. Derek,
the tall dickhead from the improv show.
Derek, you don't even remember the first three or four times we hung out, bro. Okay. All right.
Damn. It's not even shots fired. It's a flamethrower.
Dude, I know.
We already talked about my. We already talked about my Freddy powers. Okay.
He's coming on you. He's giving you the necklace.
I think Ricky's Dream Warrior and some other people, dude. I don't think.
Bro, what?
Ricky just opens friendly fire right out the gate. He just starts coming on Jarek, flaming him and shit.
It would be amazing if I found out that these memories are literally someone else and I was just too fucking high to realize or something. That'd be hilarious.
Because I only hung out with Jordan Marcantel twice.
Fuck Jordan Marcantel. Anyway, dude,
no, Trev, fuck Jordan Marcantel.
Trev, what you gonna want to do?
Fuck Jordan Marcantel.
What you're gonna want to do is you're gonna want to take a teaspoon of fucking coffee grinds, because we don't have time to actually brew that shit. We just take it straight from the source.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Shit. Oh my god.
Put it straight in your butt.
I saw that and I was like, huh. Oh, she's gonna have the shit.
She was like, huh.
Damn.
What you rather do? about it, what you gonna do?
Tell us what you rather do.
It makes me just realize how bleak it is if you're in this situation. Like, really put yourself in it. I don't know what to do. Don't think about it too much. Don't look into the void. Just try and stay awake.
Burn yourself with cigarettes. Eat fucking spoonfuls of coffee and stab that dick in the eye. Cause stay awake for tonight's movie. If you have not seen A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, by the way, that's tonight's movie.
Join our fourth wall. Give us money every month.
Cry off now. And let the ritual begin.
Freddy's just around the corner.
A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, is a 1987 American fantasy slasher film directed by Chuck Russell in his feature film directorial debut. First time ever right there. The story was developed by Wes Craven and Bruce Wagner and later got rewrites by your boy, goddamn Frank Darabont, and some other guy.
Frank Darabont's writing partner, the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
Hey, you got that wrong. It's some other guy, Esquire.
This movie is starring Heather Langenkamp as Nancy Thompson, reprising her role from the first film.
Yay!
Craig Wasson as Dr. Neil Gordon. Patricia the Bay Arquette in her first film role as Kristen Parker. And we have Ken Sagos as, I think I'm saying his name right, as Roland Kincaid. Rodney Eastman as Joey Crusell. Jennifer Rubin as Taryn White. Bradley Gregg as Philip Anderson. Ira Hayden as Will Stanton. Larry motherfucking Fishburne Lawrence properly.
The talent, the talent.
Motherfucking Morpheus, dude, as goddamn Max Daniels. And we also have the man himself, the legend, Robert England as Freddy Krueger.
What the fuck, bro? Hold up. You're missing another legend.
I'm not skipping over John Saxon. I'm going to bring him up in a second.
Damn it.
Coming back as a drunk alcoholic father, we have John Saxon.
Put more respect on his name than that.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Boy, was in Enter the Dragon, dude.
No, dude. John Saxon is a legend, and he's been doing the goddamn thing for a long time, and he comes back as Donald Thompson in this movie. Originally, this film was not going to even happen because of Nightmare 2. It did well at the box office, but but New Line Cinema was embarrassed by like the production of that film. And they were like, oh my God, can we even, should we? And Robert Englund said, hold on. I got it, y'all. I'm going to write a script called Freddy's Playland or Playground or something like that. And he had a whole treatment. He had the whole thing, but he didn't know how to end it. And so as he describes it, it went into Cronenberg territory, but he never really described like how that ending would go.
That means it was either awesome or it was the most boring piece of shit you've ever seen in your life.
Probably. So he speculates that's why the studio didn't go with his treatment of his script that he had written, but they decided, fuck it, let's go back to Wes Craven and see if he's interested. They went back to Wes Craven, and Wes was like, you know what? I got you. And also, sign me up for those royalties. I want the money. Mm-hmm. I want money on this shit.
Show me the money. Yeah. Show me the money.
You know, it's funny that they didn't go for it, because I feel like Nightmare 2 is a lot of body horror and stuff like that.
Yes, for sure.
It for sure, especially at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wes Craven wrote a treatment, or I keep saying treatment. I think fucking Robert Englund wrote the treatment, but Wes and his partner wrote a script that involved, it was called Dream Warriors. It involved all of the, like, Nancy going on a road trip, basically. She had gone off her Hypnosil. She's like, fuck this, I'm not taking this anymore. She went on a road trip to find all these different experts and try to figure out what's going on with the Freddy phenomenon, what's happening, why is this guy able to do what he's doing? And she comes across a town where all of these kids are committing suicide. They're being drawn there to commit suicide. This is the original movie. This is what Wes Craven wrote. So all of these kids were dream warriors. They were going, unbeknownst to them even, they were being drawn towards Freddy to fight him, but ultimately die. And this script was reportedly a lot darker than the movie that we ended up getting.
It does sound sick. Yeah.
Wes had a good idea, and the studio was like, yeah, man, you can come on. You can be part of the casting. You're going to be like a consultant, bro. And once they got that script, they never called him back. They're like, yeah, fuck all that. We're going to do what we want. They got Frank Darabont. And I, the only reason I don't know his writing partner's name, I did it for a joke, but I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just don't have the writing partner's name.
That guy.
So sorry, that guy. I don't remember.
I know he did a ton of stuff with him, and I think he and Chuck Russell, the three of them, were all friends, because I listened to a Chuck Russell interview on Postmortem with Mick Garris.
Okay. It's not Chuck, the other guy.
No. Mm-mm. Or maybe. I don't know.
But Chuck Russell did direct The Mask.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, shit.
And Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Also another fun movie.
Yeah.
So after they cut Wes out, they brought in Frank and his writing partner, and they completely rewrote pretty much the whole of a goddamn script. They bumped it up and made more of a crowd-pleasing sort of Freddy movie, but they did the goddamn thing, man. They really did. As far as writing it goes and how it turned out, so spilling my beans a little too soon. But yeah.
Push him out.
That's the origin of this movie right there. Making the film is a whole other fucking ordeal. They had a tight time constraint because the studio wanted to get this shit out as soon as possible, just like they did with part two. And they had them under the gun. They were making this film, and some of the actors do recall Heather saying, like, this was the most stressful set she's ever been on in her entire life. Robert Englund, he was ready to quit being Freddy after this movie was, like, during the filming of this movie. But once the movie was done, he kind of came back around and was like, I would totally play Freddy again, actually. Like, I hate doing the makeup process because it takes hours, but after this, so he kind of had, I guess, sort of the opposite effect where he came back around and he was ready to do the damn thing again. But a few of the other actors said that Chuck Russell was hard to work with. He'd be yelling at him on set. But he was stressed. He was stressed out, and it's his first movie. You know, a lot of stress.
Which is crazy. Holy shit. Debut.
Big debut. And I think I'd be fucking stressed out, too.
Hell yeah.
there is a story floating around out there where, because the soundtrack to this movie is incredible, but the band Dokken, hold on, I want to wait a second because I want Sam to hear this. I want Sam to hear this.
He said he'll be right back. He's just got to jack off real quick.
No, I want him to hear this, man.
All right, everybody, get your cucks out your system right now.
Yeah, everybody cuck, say cuck.
Let me see if I can find this guy's name real quick.
It's not going to make a difference now, dude. You done passed up that segment.
No, but I'll just shout him out.
It's a good time to grab a beer, guys.
I'm going to do something else.
Scratch your butt, grab a beer.
Smoke a joint, eat a gummy. Do some cocaine, take some fucking mushrooms.
Yeah. Tie off real quick if you got it.
Oh, no.
Damn, man.
We don't want
dude,
this. Look.
I don't judge. I don't care.
I'm not judging. I just don't want anyone to go down that road. That road. Don't go
don't
down
that
road.
Don't
want
to go down that road.
No, that's a bad road.
that's methadone road there.
You go down the heroin road and you end up in an opium den down that road, opium den road.
God damn.
Don't want to go down opium den road, to tell you what. Nah. Sometimes opium, but sometimes opium is better.
Oh, George.
Oh, Sam.
Oh, George.
Hold on, Sam. Sam's back, everybody. Sam is here. Sam, we could get on with the podcast now that you're here. I was waiting to tell you all about something very specific I wanted you to hear before I went on with the podcast, Sam.
My apologies.
No, don't apologize, sweetheart. Don't you whip out your ding-a-ling and apologize to me.
What if I do it and don't apologize?
I will accept it.
The balls on this guy. The balls on this guy. Whipping out his dick and not even apologizing.
I'll accept it. But there's a story floating around out there because the band Dokken, and this whole soundtrack's dope, but the band Dokken did the goddamn Dream Warriors. They did that shit. There's a story where Robert Englund was hanging out with Dokken. And he with the Freddy glove, and they're all doing coke off of the fucking blades together.
That's so sick.
I believe it.
Man, I would have loved it. I would love to be
it's
on
true.
That set.
Fuck it.
They did a video for it with Robert Englund in it. So that's
it's probably during
probably
that
happened
time.
There.
And when I say floating around, I'm not saying like it's a mystery. I'm saying people say that happened. Like they're like, yeah, that happened. And I don't think anyone denies it. It's just like,
yeah, nobody denied it. Yeah.
It's just a story that's out there. Everyone was getting cranked off the goddamn Dokken video, man. Like they were getting fucking beamed up, cousin.
Crank it off, bro. Crank it till it falls off.
Let's see if I got a little bit of trivia. No, fuck, you know, fuck the trivia. I could talk about it, but. Yeah, I don't want to keep everybody all night. I know people got to get up and go to work in the morning. So yeah,
I'm a professional podcaster now, dude. I don't even need to work anymore.
Right?
Congratulations.
Yeah, man.
Y'all are too. Y'all get paid to do it. You get my money to do it.
Right. We work. We literally give you money.
That is true.
Yeah, bud.
Everybody here is a professional.
Yeah, bud.
How about that? Goddamn.
Yeah. Jarek, are you mute, bud? I see your lips moving, but I don't know if you're talking.
Okay, there we go. I don't know why I didn't pick up.
Oh, look, now Sam's doing it.
Sam is pretending. He's pretending.
Sam's playing.
Yeah, he's playing big time. Yeah, look at him. What he's saying right now is he's jumping in the nightclub Discord and he's saying, hey, you can't talk about these movies in the music section.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, who was that guy?
What guy?
Was that the Sprint guy? Can you hear me now?
Oh,
T-Mobile, maybe?
I think he was Sprint, and then there was, like, a big scandal. Like, not a scandal, but then he, like, went to AT&T or some shit, or he went to, like, another company.
Oh, he did go to a competitor. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and then they started making ads, and it was, like, a big thing.
Can you fucking believe it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
the big fucking cell phone controversy. The cell phone,
dude, he's like the fucking Subway Jared of mobile phones.
No, yeah. He didn't rape people.
Put that evil on him.
No.
I guess it's unfair, but I want to call him that anyway.
No.
That is,
it's more
unfair.
Like the dude you're getting a Dell guy if he went over to Mac or something.
Right. He's like, it's not like if Freddie
dude,
went
you're getting
to
a Mac.
It's not like if Freddie went to Crystal Lake and started raping all the campers. You can't do that. It's not right. The same thing, okay? Just saying. Freddie be molested.
Just saying. Freddie's a real Chester.
All right, yeah.
Freddie's a child murderer?
Yeah.
Ricky, I know what you did. All right.
Yeah, you know. I did it just for you.
Thank you. That was a great inside joke. We're going to go ahead and dive into Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 and do that goddamn scene by scene. Opens with this young girl, Kristen Parker, played by Patricia Arquette. Sweet Patricia. She lives...
What up, Patricia?
She lives in the town of Springwood, where these movies have been taking place. God damn, we didn't mention any of that. I'm going to do it right now. Fuck it. I'm going to do it right
shit.
Now.
Do
it.
Say,
let me tell you right
it.
Now.
Let,
do
tell
it.
Them right now.
Do
bro.
It.
The whole reason we're doing this goddamn franchise...
Oh, shit. Tell them.
Tell them.
The reason we've been doing it is because Chud of the Pod did Friday the 13th last year. They did the whole thing because Sam had never seen them.
That's
the
true.
Whole.
Whoa. So, can I ask? I mean, it might be spoilers. So which one was your favorite?
Yeah, tell them. Tell them.
Tell them, bro. Yeah.
Part 5, A New Beginning.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, boy.
Nice.
That fucking Roy boy. Yeah.
Dude, certified Roy boy, no doubt.
Yeah, whoa. Dude.
Roy's dope. Roy's
that is
dope.
The last one I would have expected.
I love it.
What can I say? I mean, we don't need to get into it too much, but none of them are that good, let's face it. So,
if
as far as, I mean, they're
tens,
fun.
Man.
They're
if
fun.
If he'd have stood up and he'd have been like, look, my Roy
you're
tattoo.
Just watching it to see people get killed. You don't really need that much character development. Most of them don't have much. So throw me a bunch of crazy characters for a few minutes each that then get knocked off. I'm fucking here for it.
I think part 5 succeeds at that, like, exponentially better than a lot of the comic book Jason movies do.
And everybody talks about shits on 5 and is like, oh, but X is awesome because X is, like, campy and knows what it's doing. And
I like X, too, though.
So
I love X.
X is dope.
Every argument that people use to defend X can be applied to 5. Just want to say
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
if you like X for those reasons, you should be able to enjoy for 5 the 5 for those reasons.
Except it's not Jason.
Fucking who cares? It might as well be.
It's Roy. It's Roy, bitch.
Roy's stronger. He kills more people than
Roy kills. Yeah, Roy kills a lot of people, bro.
No, but the whole reason we are doing this is because Ricky has never seen the entire Nightmare series.
I haven't either, Ricky.
I've only seen, now I've seen 4 of them. But,
have you?
Yeah. Yeah.
4? You've watched 4?
Four of them, yes.
Wait, so what's the 4th one?
I don't want to talk to you about it now, but
no.
I'm really
yeah,
curious.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about it right now.
We're not doing that yet. But
if it's going to make Travis mad, dude, I'll give my rating and everything, dude. Like, I'll fucking look at him. Look at his little face. Oh,
right. We're all building up. We're all building up to a big Chuddle Nightclub crossover where we do Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's what we're building up to.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be a party. Yeah. Everyone's invited.
There's gonna be fireworks.
It's gonna take 3 days to record.
Based on how I'm doing this, goddamn. Okay, so everyone knows scene by scene. So she's grown up in Springfield, and she's been making this little model of the 1428 Elm Street house, which looks really cool. by the way. I'd buy that.
It looks awesome.
Games Workshop would sell that for like $800, Jarek. Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
That house originally inhabited by Nancy and Jesse from part two. And she hears like something crazy. Well, I forget exactly how she gets into her dream. I should have rewatched this movie, but she goes into her dream, and this is something.
It's from the credits, man. When she's building the house.
Yeah, jump in and help me out with it.
Cause... And then she lays down, and her mom's I'm trying to fuck this guy, and you're like listening to this music and shit like a nerd.
And you hear that guy from the background. He's like, "Hey, where's the bourbon?
Where's the bourbon?"
Yeah, this is where Glenn. She takes her tablespoon coffee grounds. It's and fucking
Glenn.
Stay awake.
You said Glenn last night.
You did.
You said
you,
Glenn last
you.
Night.
You.
It wasn't me that started that shit.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck it. It's Glenn.
No,
I wasn't even there for that joke.
Yeah,
I don't know. Run anyway.
Sorry. Fucking sorry. All right.
So this is where you see her take her teaspoon, like tablespoon of coffee grounds and like her stay awake pills.
She's making the fucking house. She's taking the shit.
Yeah, she cranks up the radio. Her mom comes in.
Her mom, she lays in bed and then she basically gets out of bed and the bed's in the dreamscape.
Yeah. That's the first.
The shot's cool, too. The shot's awesome. Yeah. She like gets up and she's out there and it shows the house.
The set design in this movie is fucking wild, bro. Mm-hmm. Right out of the gate. It's like, what the fuck?
This is the first scene in the movie that, upon a rewatch, and I hadn't seen this movie in a long time, where part two doesn't do nightmare scenes as good as part one, but this movie picks up that carries the torch, dude. And like when she turns around and her bed frame is just slowly the camera's panning back and you see the Elm Street house in the background. I'm like, that's nightmare logic. That's completely
absolutely
the fuel for the fire that is going to fucking burn us to the ground in this movie with the nightmare logic. The filmmakers were on point in this, and if that was part of the script, if that was something that Wes wrote or that Frank and his buddy juiced up, whatever, good on them, man. Everything after this is nightmare fuel. From the kids playing outside doing the jump rope, that little girl that rolls up on the trike and she's like, you don't want to go down that road, because down that road is Freddy Krueger. Down that road. There's a line right here, right, where she's like, "He's home."
The way she fucking does it, man, it's awesome.
After she does that, though, like that's when you get the fucking chase scene with Freddy showing up in silhouette in the hallways, and these hallways look like that scene out of The Shining. It reminded me of when Shelley Duvall's running through the fucking Overlook Hotel, and it's just spooked out, like it's just creepy as fuck. And she runs into this room eventually where all these people are hanging like Epstein's everywhere. It's crazy. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
She goes into the basement, too, at some point, into the boiler room. And that's where that little girl's like, "This is where he takes us." That's before the he's home thing. And I forgot that. But like that part is also that line is fucked
up. Yeah.
That's fucked.
Yeah, it gives you the yuckies.
Because it's in this film series.
It's the implication.
It's the implication.
It's the first time they really like come out and straight up say that in the series.
I feel like it because I don't think
they definitely
ever,
don't in one.
They don't.
I don't think they do in two either.
They don't say that he molests children. They don't.
I mean,
say
that's
that.
Pretty straight up though.
But yes, it's the
right.
Like Ricky
this
said.
This is where he takes us. That implies that he doesn't just kill him. This is where he keeps him for a while or whatever.
And the whole time she's running through the hallway, she's carrying this little girl that was on the trike.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gets to the Epstein room,
Epstein room.
The little girl's like, "Put me down, you're hurting me," and she looks at her and it's just like a fucking skeleton in her hands.
She ran so aggressively from Freddy that she bounced that kid around until she was
blew the skin right off her.
A corpse.
Gave that gave like that 5-year-old girl shaking baby syndrome somehow. Like holy shit.
She was running around and she gave her the whip and the nay nay.
Oh, shit. You son of a bitch. I almost spit my beer on that one.
He whipped her head back and forth.
She's whipping her hair back and forth, back and forth.
I whip my hair back and forth.
Kristen wakes up and she goes to the bathroom like, oh my god, that was a nightmare. Fucking horrible. Let me go wash my face.
A nightmare on the 13th. Yes.
But what she doesn't know.
What she doesn't know is that the goddamn faucet is a fucking claw.
Freddy.
It's Freddy.
Yeah, his little
he grabs hold of her. She's still in the goddamn nightmare and screaming her ass off, and she gets cut on her arm. I forget how.
I think she might have been she cuts herself with a razor blade.
Well, the other faucet comes up and gets Freddy blades. Yeah, so the other faucet in the dream comes up and it looks, or not faucet,
The handle comes
up and grows Freddy blades and then cuts her in the dream. And when she wakes up in reality, she's holding a razor and it cut at her wrist because he's making it seem like these kids are killing themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And a little trickier. It's like, people are on to me. I got to make this look like an accident.
Right.
Freddy's over there plotting and scheming and shit.
Yeah, bro. He's a little schemer. This
like these
guy.
Blood geysers aren't going to work anymore.
He's setting up cheese traps.
Got to get all these kids in one place where they're going to sedate the fuck out of them. Yeah,
because Kristen's mom
very
comes
opportunistic,
in.
Man. Yeah, bro. And smart. He's an organized serial killer.
Kristen's mom does come into the bathroom and sees her like holding the razor blade. Her wrist is bleeding. That effect,
Kristen.
That effect looks really good because the blood is just pulsing out of her wrist.
It gives me the heebies. Yeah. I don't like it. The heebie-jeebies.
I've got a thing with pulsing blood, like a heart. Like if I hear a heartbeat, I
like that.
No,
I like that. I hate seeing people like in movies when they're always just like cutting themselves or something. Mm. Like, dude, like I can deal with, and like it doesn't like hurt me or anything, but it gives me the ooh.
Yeah, body harm, self-inflicted body harm is like not something
for sure
that I can watch. It makes me queasy.
It bothers me a little bit, but like if I see someone like. I don't know. If I see Bigfoot pull someone's dick off and eat
it's different. It's different.
Then I don't give a fuck.
That's
a
good time.
It's
fine.
It's amazing.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
It's okay.
There's but like Return of the Living Dead 3, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, man.
There's different thresholds for like different, I guess the way it's portrayed, especially. You could have, we covered a movie recently.
A lot of it's in the portrayal of certain things. Yeah, for sure.
Like, and Jarek, I know you're going to cringe at this, but like, we can watch Terrifier 2 and enjoy the gore, but you watch a movie like Passion of the Christ, and the way the gore is portrayed is like, it's next level because of how it's done. Uncomfortable and fucked up. At least to me. So the different thresholds, different people.
They're saying that the gore in Passion of the Christ isn't as fun as the gore in Terrifier 2.
No. That's exactly. No. Exactly.
It's not at all.
That's not.
Don't go into
saying.
Thinking. You're watching Tokyo Gore Police. This is Passion of the Christ. This is like pretty sad.
It's just sad.
You feel something?
It's sadness. The sadness. Yeah. Very
Speaking
fun.
Of the sadness,
hey, the sadness
least,
is awesome.
At least the
fun.
Sadness is a lot of fun
that
compared
fun,
to Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
I'll put it to
art,
you like that.
Art makes me laugh and Pontius
sadness
Pilate
of the Christ.
Not.
Sadness of the Christ.
Oh, shit,
boy. That takes us to Weston Hills, the psychiatric hospital where Bill Maher is a doctor and he's walking through the place next to Morpheus and he's
looking
like, hey.
Looking like he just got 1,000 points for making fun of fucking Drew Carey. You know?
And fucking Lawrence Fishburne is like telling them that he's got a theory about why all gays are committing suicide, right?
Yeah. What was that?
Yeah.
I don't
and
remember.
He said it was their chromosomes from their parents.
Oh,
because
all their parents were hippies doing all these drugs. So
nice.
They did all their drugs.
It's like the first generation of kids off those drug-addled hippies. Yeah, like
yes,
shut
indeed.
Up, Larry.
Larry, nobody asked you. Go Larry, back to Pee-wee's Playhouse.
You're tripping.
And he might as well be. He's in Freddy's Playhouse. Oh, throwback to Wes Craven's script. We meet Taryn, this girl that is just not sleeping. She's keeping herself awake. And Jennifer, the girl who's been self-harming by putting cigarettes out on her arms. And she's like, I need my cigarette privileges back, please. Can I please have them back?
Hell no.
And he's you
don't even smoke them, cuh.
Light, you know, light and menthol.
You're not even inhaling.
He straight up tells her.
You're not inhaling them.
Don't hold your breath, bro. Yeah, I'm like, man, you're kind of an asshole.
Ain't happening. Yeah. Well, fuck, dude. She keeps burning herself.
Nah, dude, but like,
bro, would you give that chick a cigarette? I would. No, not if I seen her burning herself with one.
I'd be nice about it at least. Like, he don't give a fuck. He's just like, nah. Not
well, he's got to be stern. He's got to be stern with his patients, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to build trust with your patients by doing that shit.
I don't think he's a very good doctor based on the scene we're going to see a little bit later.
He's not a doctor. He's not even a doctor. He's just a dude that works there. But I think he does a fine job. Compared to the other guy, this guy's the best.
I like Doc Gordon. I like Doc Gordon, man. He's not bad. He's not bad.
I'm going to tell you why he's bad in a little while, because the way he talks to these kids in a little while is like, wow, brother.
All right.
You didn't hold
back. These kids, they need structure, man. Okay. No, I'm not even sure what you're referencing. So
neither.
I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, I forgot.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. Yay.
Hashtag Shuttle the Pod.
Shuttle the Pod, everyone. Go
listen to the nightclub.
Goo.
Goo. There's an emergency happening, and Kristen is freaking the fuck out. She's talking about the 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. She's doing the whole goddamn thing and fighting with people in the hospital.
But I'm trying to stay there. I'd fight too.
Right.
Dude, when she kicked Bill Maher, I thought at first she kicked him really hard in the nuts. But he got right up, though. But it was a good kick, too.
Dude, like that. Dude, like. Like, yeah, dude, this is serious. Like,
she kicked the shit out of him.
She really kicked the shit out of him, dude.
Yeah.
Ballless Bill Maher. Now, a lot of the acting in this movie, and when we get to some of the group meeting scenes
especially
that are coming
from
up,
her, man.
I think everybody does a great job. Like,
it's a good array of characters, too.
People really putting themselves, you know, like committing to their role. And
they had to. That boy was fucking yelling at him, boy.
He was yelling at him, yeah. Chuck Russell was like, Kincaid, you better say this line funny.
You better. higher pitched. More nasally.
My dick's killing me now.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I say that to myself every day.
Oh.
All the time. Nancy shows up. Nancy's there now, and it's like, holy fuck, it's our final girl. Yeah, air horns, fucking confetti.
I like the rogue thing she's got going with her hair. It's pretty dope.
Roman Reigns, Pyro.
Nancy's killing it. Yeah, man.
Nancy's the tribal.
I like
chief
the way she
movie.
Dresses, too. Like, she's dope in this movie.
Yeah, I like that.
And she's like a dream scientist or something. It's the best.
Yeah, Nancy's been doing. She's been doing some social work, and she's been trying to figure out, you know, cope with her past, basically. And she does. Mm-hmm. She has the Ash from Evil Dead 2 gray hair streak.
He gets that in the first movie.
Oh, does he?
She does. She like wakes up, and her mom's like,
"No,
I think
shit.
It's maybe at the sleep clinic. I forget, but yeah, it's in the first movie.
I don't remember
That's
that.
True.
We
That's
might have
true.
Even made mention of that, but I forgot it.
Yeah."
But hell to the
give
man.
Us money, professionals, fourth wall. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'd like to take a moment to thank our fourth wall subscribers.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sam's like, you're welcome.
Hold on. Your lifeblood gives us blood and thank you.
We like Perfect. The taste of your blood.
We appreciate your money so we can feed Ricky Kaboom.
So he can come fire on Jarek.
Yep. Oh my god.
You're not left out. I'll come fire on anyone. It's not all about Jarek.
Yeah.
Jarek.
I don't know. Damn. It's getting so inside jokey. So Nancy talks to Dr. Gordon about all the kids and talks about the sleep disorders, insomnia, narcolepsy, the bedwetting. They talk about bedwetting and all the nightmares that they're having in common. And Gordon, Bill Maher, believes it's a group delusion. This boogeyman is this fucking group delusion. Or is Dr. Gordon the woman?
They're a bunch of sheep.
Am I mixing that up?
No, that's the guy. No, that's the guy.
What's Nurse Gordon? Who's Nurse Ratchet?
I don't know.
What?
Dude Ratchet. Yeah,
Dude Ratchet.
Dude Ratchet. Nice.
No.
Nice.
Man, I love Greg, y'all.
Greg Savvy. Yeah,
Greg Savvy, dude. Oh, shit. So he elaborates with a story about a young boy who used a razor blade to cut off his own eyelids to stop him from going to sleep.
That's total bullshit. You would still go to sleep, by the way. I tried.
Idiot.
It does not work. Fucking stupid.
Dumbass.
So can you really die from that? Because this dude died from doing that.
You can die, from sleep?
I think Freddy got him, right?
No, from cutting your eyelids off.
Dude, you could spontaneously combust when you go to bed tonight. What are you talking about? Like,
I mean,
of course you could.
Like, facts. Like, that's a serious question. I don't know.
I don't know what kind of blood veins you got working in your eyes or anything, but right. Imagine without
they proper said this
medical
dude,
attention.
Yeah.
They said this dude died, bro.
Well, he probably, like Sam said, I think he probably got. He probably got clapped by
Yeah,
God.
That's what I was thinking.
Freddy clapped him, boy. Okay.
Freddy was clapping those sleepy cheeks. And
Freddy clapping sleepy cheeks.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's Ricky's new nickname.
Sleepy cheeks. Oh. Sleepy cheeks.
Freddy clapping sleepy cheeks.
Three, six sleep cheeks.
But I said it. Why does Ricky get the nickname when I said it? Why can't I be?
It felt like a Ricky nickname.
Because he's the fan favorite, Travis.
What?
Because he's the fan favorite.
Fuck.
Oh my God.
You can't give yourself a nickname. That's why.
Wow. But you gave it to him.
I've given myself most of my nicknames.
Yes. Yeah, but you're the fan favorite. So, like, you
get away with it.
Yeah, that's how it works.
It's amazing. That's amazing.
Well, you can be Freddy clapping.
Yeah, clapping Fred.
Sleep cheeks.
Nancy was on that Hypnosil, by the way. And
Hypnosil.
This is when Dr. Gordon is like, holy shit, what the fuck is this?
Goes home to his closet. Sorry, we'll get there. But like, what the fuck? Where is he when he's on the computer that he looks it up and that old ass computer?
I think he's at home. I think he's in his study as they used to have.
Yeah,
it looked like a walk-in closet to me.
Really?
Yeah.
He had
I don't know why.
He had that like ancient Mac, the ancient Mac, and he's like, oh,
operating that
Mac.
Operating that Mac. Yeah, well, and he was like,
he's command propping shit.
He's like, I can't wait to send all my friends all this information I found about the Hypnosils. We're going to find out. this is AOLs before AOLs. Okay? Emails.
Oh, shit.
Did he send a free floppy disk in the mail?
FreddyFloppyDisk.com.
Yeah. Floppy Fred.
Don't saddle me with
there
that.
There you
one.
Go, Travis.
No!
Your nickname.
God damn it!
Floppy Fred Ball.
Not happy. Not happy at all.
And it's a reference to your wiener, bro, because you got such a big hog.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Hogzilla.
All right. Max,
like a big old wiener,
dragging behind him as he walks solo to the ground.
Cowboy Curtis shows Nancy to her office at the hospital, where and he introduces her to some patients. First, we meet Philip, nicknamed the Walker because he sleepwalks and he makes puppets. That's important. Mm-hmm. And then we meet with Kincaid. Marionettes. Well. We meet Kincaid and who's he in the room with? Joey. Mm-hmm. Teardrop Joey. Motherfucking prison Joey.
Okay. Fuck this dude.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck this dude.
I know everything about him.
I agree.
He's selfish, bro. He's selfish. He's horny. I know he's looking for love in a hopeless place, but.
Damn. What?
Hold on. Everybody thought they were still awake. Nobody knew it worked. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. Yeah. There it is.
I want to hear that song played.
Oh, man.
You got it.
Are you going to do it? Oh, yeah. Shit. He's doing it, people. Yeah. And this is where it fades out and you hear it for a few seconds.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how it happens. One day when we start getting like cease and desist letters, it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna have to take down everything we ever did.
just I don't know, put like a public service announcement like in it, like
I'm just gonna pretend I didn't give the letters.
Song has been removed from the podcast right here.
We'll see what happens. So we meet Kincaid. Kincaid is the goddamn best. This dude,
he's the man. My man.
He's got one-liner after one-liner, and he's
nasally and super confident, and he doesn't want to put up with anybody's shit.
No, and it's I feel like, because I don't like authority, I feel like I would be Kincaid in this story, which that sucks in part four. But
the big tough funny guy.
No,
that sounds like Travis to me. Yeah.
Well, with his power, he would be much shorter than him.
Yeah, everyone would get shorter, and everyone would have one ball. So, like, yeah, for sure. And we'd all have smaller dicks, for sure, because he drags the ground with his floppy Fred.
That's what y'all said.
Dragon. Smaugzilla.
Dragon.
Smaugzilla. I like that. Dude, God, Travis like tills the earth as he walks. Like, dude, you should be a farmer, dude. You could just walk the field.
And in the background, you hear the theme song. Dragon ball, Travis.
Trevor, I love you. Okay. Nick's like, what? Are we talking
so
about...
So glad I was invited on.
Yeah, like, what is happening here? Joey does leave the room, and this is the person that Cody hates. I wanted to talk about Kincaid, but fuck it, we're over that now, because everyone wanted to talk about my dick.
Hate's a strong word. He's an asshole.
Okay. But he's peeping this nurse. Mm-hmm. And look, man.
Love in a hopeless place. I get it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being attracted, all right? And he's attracted to this woman. So he's peeping. He's peeping her.
It's just a bad time. I don't know.
He's sneak peeping, but he's peeping. And he's just
Sneak peeper?
Yeah, he's sneak peeping. Nancy goes to Kristen's mom, Elaine, who I mistook for Nancy's mom for some reason when we watched it together the other night.
For an instant, it was pretty sad, but we got you through it.
Yeah. Thank y'all for that. And this woman is just fed up, and she's like, I think Kristen's just acting out and looking for attention. And it's like, okay, lady.
She's mostly a bitch, but she's got her little okay moments here and there where she could be decent. But yeah, well,
the point of this scene though is
mainly a bitch.
Nancy sees her old house that she lived in as the little model that Kristen was making. And that's what just everything starts clicking. And she's like, holy fuck.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, dude. Big and big fire ass moment in this movie.
They're never going to believe this on Reddit.
Dr. Gordon is looking up Hypnosil, like Sam was saying earlier, on his Macintosh. Or whatever the fuck kind of bullshit computer he had back in the goddamn 1987s.
It's a neck in Tossington.
It's where you can hear them buttons clicking, ball.
Yeah.
Pretty flopping, button clicking, sleep clapping.
Yeah, bro.
Clapping them button cheeks.
Clickety-clack, bitch. Clickety-clack.
And he's like, oh, this Hypnosil is just wild. Like, everyone who's on it is being treated for night terrors and shit. And we go back to Kristen, who's in bed drawing the Elm Street house, and she starts to like go to sleep, and the room, her room, like the door creaks open and the fucking shadow of the tricycle comes in. I love this shot. So good. Like how it just, the people that are making this movie did it great. And we're about to get a 10 out of 10 scene right here. The trike starts to melt down on the floor, and she fucking gets out of the room and she backs herself into this corner in the house. And right before that, she goes into the nightmare house and there's like a fucking, it made me think of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because there's like a fucking pig on the table and the pig starts, and it's all fucking
like jumps at her,
barbecued, and like there's apples
black
and bile shit
coming out its mouth.
But the corner she does put herself in, and Cody was talking about this last night. We watched this in the Swamp Donk. The motherfucking walls start exploding. The lights are going off. The camera pans around the room. All of these practical effects are happening around Patricia Arquette while she's reacting to it. It's amazing. It's just great. And then followed up by the insane, could have been Lucasfilm puppetry, Jim Henson puppetry, whatever, man. But no, it ain't. I don't know the production company that made this shit. I didn't pull that up, but
I think it might have been KMB or something. It was one of the big guys. I was watching the Never Sleep Again in parts because it was on Tubi. And they definitely had who did it on there. I want to say it was, there's like a famous Howard or something. Fuck, I don't remember.
Yeah, I should have gotten that because I want to give a shout out, because that the goddamn Freddy Worm, this huge animatronic beast pops up and fucking starts gobbling Kristen.
Yeah. And it's like scary.
Dude.
Like, legit. When it's like she's like halfway down and he's just like,
yeah,
I would have been like,
I mean, said, vagina deep in that mouth.
Yeah.
I've
said before that I think Phantasm probably influenced some of the stuff that happened in the first Nightmare movie,
mm-hmm.
with like the ending and whatnot, lady coming through the door and all that. Here I see something that's definitely an influence on Phantasm 2. The fucking Freddy Worm.
Is this come before? I don't know.
What happened. Oh, no. This comes before, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Phantasm 2 was 88. This was 87.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, though, in the Never Sleep Again, they were talking about how it was painted to look more like a worm, like a traditional worm. But that paint color made it look so much like a penis.
Hell yeah.
Like, we call it the Freddy penis now without that color. So that's why it's kind of like gray and dirty looking. Because they were like, all right, we got to paint this thing because it's not.
Yeah, bro. Good call.
That thing looks wet.
That's a big old. Because
it already looks like a big wiener.
Dick. Freddy done got his
a big
wet,
burnt sausage.
And he's gobbling down to the fucking vagines. And then all of a sudden, Kristen starts screaming out for Nancy, and this is when we get the fucking title card of the movie, the Dream Warriors. Kristen's power, she sucks Nancy into her dream.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Nancy falls backwards into her chair in a really cool effect and appears in the dream. She falls into this dream, sees Kristen is in danger, grabs a glass shard because I think she fell out of like a mirror or something. And
she falls through a chair, but then, I think breaks through a mirror to fall into the scene.
Yes.
She's getting eaten by the worm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it does.
She does fall out through a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And she grabs that piece of glass from it.
Yeah.
She's
fucking worm.
That's when she stabs
the
Freddy
shit out of him.
And he fucking freaks out and lets Kristen go, but he looks down and he sees Nancy and he's like, you. And Nancy's like, oh my god.
he looks fucking terrifying, like when he's like, you.
Yeah, dude, that's fucked up. I don't want to see that big Freddy dick saying you, like me.
Oh my god.
Me, why me, not tonight. Not that much. The girth
scene
alone.
It's
yeah,
like tonight. You.
You.
Hand, the hand banana dog or whatever.
Yep. Night tonight.
Oh, fuck yeah.
What was his name?
Oh, yo,
spaghetti?
I'm going to fucking some wrestling thing.
Yeah, I'm
going to
name him Spaghetti.
Something at, I don't know much about it, but apparently it's pretty small and intimate. My buddy invited me to go. And it's going to be live, he said, on CW, I think, or something.
Oh,
we're going to the PBS studios in Tampa. And it's Billy Corgan's wrestling thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
TNA.
NWA.
Impact.
Oh, so
no,
I'm going
he's
to
in
that
NWA
tomorrow
now.
Night.
Oh,
and apparently, like, Billy.
Oh, is okay. That's
Billy
awesome.
Corgan's, like, just hanging out the whole time right around.
That's sick.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not really my scene, but. One of my best friends is really into it and invited me to go, so it should be fun.
Give him a Tuttle the Pod sticker, man.
Have a good time, man. Try.
You're going, no, not even try. You're going to a live wrestling show. You're going to have a good time.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I've been to a few, but they've all been like super local, super, super local. I should put it that way. You know, I haven't been to anything to this scale, so we'll see what it is.
Like in gyms and shit.
Gyms, probably fucking
a couple gyms, a couple parking lots.
Yeah. That also probably very fun.
Oh, it's fun as hell. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Wait, Sam, so what part of Florida are you from?
I'm in Sarasota. It's like an hour south of Tampa.
Okay. Do you ever go to any Lightning games?
Yeah.
I've been to a few, yeah. I saw you in the what is it, a Dallas jersey? Yeah,
it's like 6 hours, but I still go.
Weird. I'm not that crazy about hockey of the major sports we have here, which is a shame because we've been so fucking great. But Bucks, Rays, Lightning in that order.
Okay. Dang.
I know.
Bucks were good for a while though.
Recently, it was nice to have
Travis.
Sorry, dude.
Travis. Let him talk about sports.
I just had
ball,
to get
man.
Curious.
Oh, man. I am. They could talk. They're what? I'm including them in our fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
You mm-hmm. said that like the Greasy Strangler just now. I'm including them in our fun.
So I guess now you think I'm the Greasy Strangler.
I never said that.
Okay. So I'm not the Greasy Strangler. Oh, you doing it too? See, Sam's getting it.
Yeah,
doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Nick's over there like, God damn.
No,
what
dude, I'm chilling. I'm chilling.
Freddie.
Oh, I have one more thing to say about hockey.
Yes. Yes, Sam. Yes. Do it. Actually, do it, please.
I was just going to say, you'd think, you know, being a white dude in my mid-30s is like into metal and shit, I would be in my hockey phase by now, but it hasn't happened.
Dude, that's exactly what happened to me. I am in it.
Yeah,
I was literally about to say, then Freddie slaps the puck into the net and the crowd goes wild. Like, I was about to say that.
Tying it all together.
Yep. No, but Freddie fucking is like, about to attack. Nancy is like, oh shit, take us out of this dream, Kristen. So they wake up and they're both in separate places, right? Like how they fell asleep. This is letting us know Kristen's got her power. They meet the next day and Nancy's telling her like, dude, Freddy's real. This is all real. Trust me. I done been through it. Look at the gray. Look at this little gray streak I got. I'm rogue and it's real.
And she got a sweet jacket on. It's like it looks like a wallpaper.
Sweet jacket. Yeah,
like floral wallpaper, but on a jacket.
This this scene is actually kind of touching to me because Kristen reveals to Nancy that when she was a little kid and she would have nightmares, she would pull her dad into her dreams to feel better, and her dad would protect her in her dreams. Then when they'd talk about it the next morning, her dad always just assumed it was his dream, so he would tell her about the dream. And I was like, damn movie. What are you doing right now? Like,
it's good. I like that. It's like, it's sweet. You get some character development. It happens quickly.
It is quick, but yeah, that's just,
I like it to be quick. I'm saying that's a positive.
Oh yeah. and it happens like this throughout the movie and with other characters too. It just keeps happening with our side characters. We get their backstories during the group meetings, which, ding, ding, ding. next scene, group meeting.
I was going to say, it helps to that you get to do character development through, like, confessions at therapy. You know, that makes it easier than just having them, like, hanging out, playing basketball or something.
Yeah, because they all get very dark and very vulnerable. And that's something I wanted to mention about all these side characters. Like, yeah, they're pretty one-dimensional, but you can't help but feel for them because their backstories are just way heavier than they have any right to be. You know,
it's like Will being in a wheelchair because he tried to kill himself by jumping off of something or whatever. And, you know, Taryn
being addicted to drugs. Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like Freddie is like targeting certain types of like people. It may have been easier for him to target or get into their dreams or something like that if they're kind of, you know, down and out or struggling.
That's like earlier when Ricky said,
the idea that I got.
Yeah, he's an opportunist.
Target the weaker ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's being an opportunist. He's being clever about like,
He's organized opportunist.
Dude, and that's fucked up. Like, Jason, so to compare the two villains, and we haven't done this on the show.
Jason is an unorganized serial killer.
He just doesn't care. No plan. No plan. Just kill.
He does like to decorate with the bodies afterwards. But
yes. Right. So he is very much a trophy killer, but yeah. Or I don't know if you'd call it a trophy killer.
Yeah, no, it's more like...
He's more like a playset.
A dopey killer.
He's like, why are you in my waters? And then he just fucking takes them out. Freddy is over here like... Freddy's over here like plotting and planning and scheming. And really, he's playing chess while Jason's over there playing quarters or something. Or beer pong. Taking I don't even know. Yeah, just he's like Cody eating his boogers. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? You're a grown man. You live in the woods. You've learned how to live in the woods. You've learned how to skin animals and eat them. Why are you eating your boogers? It doesn't make any sense.
That's how he learned to survive before the animals could catch animals, living off boogers.
This is where we also learn about Jennifer wanting to be a TV actress in this group therapy session. We learn about Taryn the junkie, Kincaid, who also is boys with Will. By the way, I just want to say he's over there defending Will real quick. But Jennifer wants to be a TV a TV star. She's like the Pearl in this movie, or the Maxine, either one. She wants to be that TV star. And I like the parallels to modern day. I know this didn't make sense back then, but that's what I was thinking about. And then they turn to Joey, who doesn't speak. And so you can't really get much out of Joey.
He's thinking about getting... You know what he's thinking about.
He's thinking about getting his Freddy dick wet big time. With
his Freddy wetty.
He's Freddy wetty, bro. Yeah, dude. So I lost my place, that's all.
Oh, no, it's fine, man. Don't worry about it.
You're good.
I know we're not
good.
I know we're not touching every nuance. But
we don't have to.
No, because this movie's so jam-packed. It's so jam-packed.
It is. I like how you said
that. Packed in there like your little butt.
Mm-hmm. Pack it in.
Oh my god.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, bud.
Yeah, pack it in, bro.
Yeah, bud. What? You don't pack it in?
What? What's wrong with you, bro? What? You don't pack it? Get it packed in, bro.
What's wrong with you, bro? Like, you're not packing it.
Just throwing on you hard. Like, bro, what?
You don't pack
your ass tight, bro? You don't pack it as tight as you can? What?
You don't get packed,
bro.
You don't get packed at football practice, bro. Where's Trevor, man?
I'm right here.
You good?
Trev, you good, bro? Yeah, boy.
I just hadn't heard from you in a minute, so I didn't know. Jarek, you there?
Jarek?
I think Jarek stepped away.
Jarek stepped away.
Oh.
He walked away. And then you were like, hold on 1 second, I need a second. So that's why I was like, all right, I'm gonna.
Well, we've been talking about how to pack it in. Like, and keep it packed in.
Yeah.
In what sense?
You'll hear it in the episode if you listen back. But... Oh, in what sense? In the butt. You got to pack it in. And if you don't pack it in, bro, you don't pack it in?
Just imagine like, just, I don't know, guys trying to bro down on you hard. Like, bro, you don't pack it in tight? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, sure.
This guy doesn't even pack it in tight.
This fucking guy, yeah.
He doesn't even pack it in, dude.
Dude, pack it. Jared, do you pack it in tight, bro?
I don't even know what y'all are talking about.
Dude, you don't... So then you don't pack it in tight then, though?
Yeah, that's what it's starting to sound like. Bro.
Dude.
I like to leave a little space myself.
Well, I can respect that because you need some more packing. But sometimes
when you never know.
You never know when you need to fit more.
That's right. Sam had the right idea on this one.
Oh, my God.
Philip interrupts to say that the doctors all believe that their dreams are fucking a psychosis. Despite the fact that they all dreamt about Freddy before they had ever even met. So
I know.
This shit is
fucking,
like
bullshit there. I'm like, how can you fucking think that's honestly true? There's got to be something going on, clearly.
Jared paranoia.
Here it is. This is Nurse Ratched is Dr. Sims. She's like, they're not going to make any progress until they can accept these dreams as byproducts of guilt, psychological scars, moral conflicts, and overt sexuality.
It's my dick that's killing me.
Kincaid, baby. But the only one that's true about
Kincaid's
it is Joey.
10.
Oh, Kincaid's a fucking 10, dude.
Yep.
And what about Joey? Yeah.
Joey's the only one. It's the only one you could say his sexuality, but that's not why he's having these dreams. He's just a horny teenager.
Well, no.
Or
he's just
adult.
Horny, man. Leave him alone, man. Let him be horny.
I think we're all horny.
It's not till later that it becomes a problem for him.
it could be why Freddy got after him. Like, overt.
Look at that horny young man over there. He's going
to
get his ass.
Like,
yeah.
Fucked up
that
thoughts,
was a
man.
Crack in his dream psyche he crawled through. His horny crack.
Crawl in my horny crack. Look, Rick had to leave. He had to leave.
That's the fucking title, dude.
Horny crack.
Oh, god damn it.
Oh, shit. Taryn, Will, and Joey are playing Dungeons and Dragons. Well, it's not Dungeons and Dragons.
Playing the Dungeon Master.
It's, yeah, the Wizard Master
Wizard
game.
Master.
Yeah,
the Wizard Master.
Yeah,
game.
It's like fucking ghosts and goblins or something. It's like they're playing great value D&D right now.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. And after Max and Taryn leave, it's revealed that the boys take shifts to sleep, so they're trying to watch each other's back, and I respect the fuck out of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nancy and Dr. Gordon go get coffee, and Nancy is asking. Where he asks about Nancy's parents, and she's telling him, my mom died in her sleep. Not really, but really. And that her and her dad don't really get along. And she tells Gordon that there's real physical danger in these kids having these dreams, and that Hypnosil will help them. He's like, we can't just give these kids this fucking drug, right? Like, I looked it up. It's fucked. It's an experimental drug, and they're fucking suicidal kids. And she's like, I used to be like them. Trust me. This is what's going to save them. So that night, while the kids are sleeping, one of the best motherfucking scenes in the entire franchise unfolds.
Absolutely.
This Freddy puppet comes to life on the wall, cuts itself down. And it looks amazing.
I love the way the puppet comes too, as well. It's just like one of those formless wooden shapes, right? Like just sort of hanging there. And then the Freddy visage and clothes and everything sort of like stop motion appear onto it
big
before
Harry
it cuts itself and lets itself down. Yeah.
Big Harryhausen energy in this movie.
Definitely. Definitely.
Love it.
And he fucking goes, he slinks along the fucking floor. And then he grows into regular Freddy in camera, And for 1987, with whatever effects they have, this shit is it holds. I'd say every effect in this movie holds up to different degrees, but like the Chuttos like to talk about, is this horror, like, who's the horror for? And they say, is this for a beginner or is this someone? I think this movie could be for a beginner and they would be blown the fuck away by the effects, even if they've seen modern effects. They'd be like, oh, this is different, but it looks amazing. And it looks like nothing I've ever seen. If they've never seen shit like this, they'd be blown the fuck away by how good it looks. I think.
Especially depending on your age, you know what I mean? For a young person, I think this would still work really well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think if you're getting into horror, you're starting to watch the Nightmare franchise, you get to part 3, this is going to blow your fucking mind, dude. And
I think that's what got me as a kid, because that's when I first saw it. Was when I was a kid,
right?
Like it stuck with me. Like it's always been like one of my favorite horror. Like the rest of them are cool, I like them, but like the third one, Dreamwaters.
Dreamwaters is the one that stuck with me from my childhood. It's the first one I remember.
I'll say my piece on it. Like not my piece, but like I've always heard part 3. Is special, and after watching 4 of these movies, I totally get it. I see why this is so many people's favorite for the franchise, for sure, right off the bat.
I like it.
Damn.
I like it.
Cody and I were fucking just oozing together last night. We were gooing, and nice. we were watching this scene, and
fourth wall.
Yeah, fourth wall, Chuttos Patreon. And we're watching this scene, like, fucking homeboy, Joey is getting his tendons ripped out of his body. His just being strung up like the So the scene's a mirror image of itself, right? Like Freddy puppet comes to life, cuts his strings off. He raises the tendons out of Joey and marionettes his ass through the hospital, through a doorway. And this is, again, where the logic of
phases.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Him through the doorway, and I'm like, damn, Freddy's already like crazy strong in this movie.
I just want to say the dimensions cross in these movies.
He's already affecting the fuck out of reality, dude.
But for me, like people who give part 2 a hard time, that like they break all the rules and whatever, dude, they break the rules throughout the whole franchise. Freddy never, never phased
everyone's
anybody.
Kind of different,
right? And there's no hard set rules on the Freddy franchise, I wouldn't say. There's some you could try to like gatekeep about, but it's not going to work if you're actually watching the whole franchise. Like you said, Sam, they're all different. They all change, and every movie's not going to be consistent. And this movie, the quote unquote fan favorite of the franchise and the quote unquote best of the franchise, breaks the rules of the first movie. So there you go, right there in that scene alone.
I think the first movie is far superior to this one. Sorry, I just love the first one.
I don't have an argument. Like, we'll get to final thoughts and ratings later, but I don't have an argument for it not being the best. And that might be, I don't think that's showing my hand, but that's just like, I don't have qualms with that. Like, I could have an argument, you know, if I wanted to like just have fun to talk about it, but like I wouldn't, because I'm like, yeah, dude, part 1's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Part 1's amazing.
So far, part 1 is my second favorite of the franchise. There you go.
Same, Ricky, same. Sorry, yeah. I had to leave. My girlfriend thought she lost her dog.
Oh,
no, not me. Okay.
Found her.
That is a panic moment. Y'all go to the panic room.
She is a cute, nervous.
We were running
thing.
Around,
She's
and
precious.
Then we found out she was just under the sheets hiding.
Oh,
making any noise?
Big chilling,
shabby.
Oh,
but yeah, Philip gets phased through the door, and he gets fucking brought to the top. I love the scene where the nerds are freaking out, and they're like, "Oh my god, Phil, don't do it! Don't do it, Philip!" And
Everybody goes stand by a window and just yells.
Well,
right.
But Joey runs to the nurse's station, can't talk Joey, doesn't have a fucking vocal cord to speak of.
I like this. I like this part. Yeah.
And he's pulling the fucking food tray off the desk. He's running down the hall,
banging on doors and shit, making as much noise. I really appreciated this, the way it's shot and the fact that they're, you know, showing you like, okay, this is what this guy's doing while he's,
and they really
he's trying to get there too. Yeah.
And like that mirror image again, you see this fucking haunting image of Freddy in the sky, larger than a cityscape, pretty much. And this dude is like cutting the fucking tendons, and my boy goes plummeting down.
He's teetering on that edge for so long. They are just screaming. Forever. Yep. He's like,
they could have played the entire Master of Puppets song.
Freddy's just like, let's see who else gathers. Anybody getting close? He's just like,
I want to make sure they all see this. Sorry. I know we're on a time crunch, but I just really want to make sure they all see this.
He wants to traumatize and put fear into all of them because fear is his power.
Yeah, he wants to nurture that fear and slowly sip on it.
Crawl into them horny cracks, bro.
Them horny dream cracks.
He wants to shove a pinky in that horny dream crack and just take a little taste.
I like how they don't show the impact. Most movies I'd want to see the skull splatter, but right here it's effective enough. The buildup and the gore effects of the tendons through the feet especially looked gnarly as hell. Through the wrist, it looks great, but like when they show him walking and they do a close up on the feet, that shit looks fucked and gross.
Interesting. I feel the wrist one more than I feel the foot one.
Well, and I wouldn't want to be strung up by my wrist. I like more than my feet, but the foot one just kind of looks.
It's just weird. How it looks. Yeah.
It looks a little weird and not, But yeah. Philip,
and they have like goo hanging off of like all the tins coming out too.
Boy, the goo, hell yeah.
Philip Dunn suicided by Freddy, and the next morning,
so all the tendons aren't out in real life. This is just like, you know, in the dreamscape, also might be happening to him kind of in reality, but nobody sees that is the point of what I'm saying. When everybody's screaming, yelling, don't do it, nobody sees like his tendons fucking sticking out of his feet and arms.
They just see a guy that's known to sleepwalk committing suicide. Kind of
dancing on the corner.
Dancing like Frankenstein, right?
He's like doing
Frankenstein's
his
monster over
master.
Here.
The Frankenstein shimmy. Philip Dunn suicided, and the next morning, this is the scene I was talking about where I'm like, Dr. Gordon, bro, you fucking up big time. They're having a group meeting, and he's like, everyone, let's talk about how we feel. Let's talk about what we experienced. That's okay. Let's talk. Okay. I'm about that. But then he starts fucking screaming at all the kids that like, Philip killed himself. That's an empty thing. He gave up. He failed himself. He failed us all. And I'm like,
he's a little hard on the fella, right?
Well, he's hard on him and everybody else. Like there, if you're suicidal, you're not, the thing to do is not to like berate everyone and tell them they're weak. That's like the opposite to me of what you'd want to.
I mean, this is like for a minute, right? And then he starts prescribing them hypnosil, so like I feel like most doctors wouldn't do that. They'd be more like the lady who's like, we're just gonna sedate you all until you stop doing this.
Right. Well, he does go out on a limb, and in the logic of this movie he's right. But in real life, he's not right. Like, you would not do this.
But I think this is just like a momentary lapse compared to his character in the rest of the movie.
He's definitely well intentioned.
You know, Travis, he's a human too, and he was hurt. Okay, just like the rest of them.
It's fair.
Okay, all right, gang. All right, gang. Gang, gang.
Hey, Travis, you want to tell us how you feel about what just happened?
I felt ganged up on, and
I'm sorry you felt that way.
Mm-hmm. But no, Ricky, you're supposed to tell me that's a weak, empty feeling, and I should fucking man up.
No, I'm not gonna say that. That would make me a dick.
Speak how bros used to speak to each other, cousin.
Nah, man.
Stop those it, dude. You're being a bitch.
Those times are over, bro.
The before
I support
time
you now.
Yeah, it's not. It's not, hey, dude, you're being a pussy. It's like, oh, dude, I totally get it, man. I get it, bro. Hey, bro, bro, do you pack it in?
Pack it in, bro. Just pack it in.
Pack it in, bro.
All those emotions.
Pack them in. Don't talk about them. Don't speak. No, but I don't know. I feel like homeboy did berate hard. Does he go the extra step in the next scene, challenging Dr. Sims and being like, nah, we got to get these kids on this drug because I think this drug's the right way for this movie? Fuck yeah. Cause we know Nancy's on game, on point and about her game. And he is putting his neck on the line because Dr. Sims, Nurse Ratched, is like, look, if you want to do this, I'll sign off, but you, right, Bill Maher, are you're fully held responsible. He's like, fuck it, I'm responsible.
I'm an adult, I'll be responsible.
Kincaid gets locked up in the quiet room. This is that also is another part of that scene where I love the group therapy session and the acting just shines, man. People don't give horror movies the credit for, like, when acting is really good, especially if the actors are not like some big name actors or whatever, but I really feel like everyone in this movie was on their A game. Everyone was on point. I didn't find silliness in any performance to me. And if someone did, like, let me know. But like, I thought everybody did the goddamn thing.
I hate to say it, I think there's a couple times where Nancy has some line deliveries that I'm like, that's pretty community theater.
I was gonna bring it up that, man, like, I almost feel like Nancy's one of the weaker performances.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad to see her throughout,
and I'm glad to see her too.
Right. But
there's a few lines here and there that I'm like, ooh.
I think the scene later in the bar where she's acting opposite John Saxon, I feel like he's out acting her ass, but
for sure.
But it's John Saxon.
I'm about to say, yeah, you can't still, you have to expect that.
Shit, I think that could say emotional. I think she pulls it off.
I'm not saying she's bad, but I'm just saying he's on another level while she's doing a good job, but you could just tell, like, it's not the same type of thing. Like, and I'm not trying to be nitpicking. Yeah. If Heather Langenkamp ever hears this, Heather, I love you, but I'm just saying, same. Like, we all love you. It's just watching the movie. I'm talking about this motherfucking G is doing the thing, but we're going to get to that scene in a minute. Kincaid,
Heather Langenkamp, I love you, but I said what I said.
Mm-hmm. And you doing
I said what I said.
You did the thing too throughout the whole movie, just being there. So,
Freddy, with your guts, paints the town red. The next scene is another iconic kill. Got Cowboy Curtis letting Jennifer stay up late and giving her to Smiggins.
Oh, yeah. She's watching them sitcoms, smoking them ultralights.
She's watching a horror movie. Let me see if I can remember this bit of trivia. She's watching a horror movie that has Robert Englund in it. On TV, she's skipping through the channels and that pops up.
Oh, she's watching the late night thing, and it's a Dick Cavett show interviewing Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Yeah, and that's what she lands on. She lands on that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because then Freddie turns into Dick Cavett, right? Yeah,
he went from a giant dick to a Dick Cavett.
Yeah. Well, apparently they asked if this was in the Never Sleep Again. They asked Dick Cavett. Or maybe this was the Chuck Russell interview. Anyway, what celebrity he couldn't stand because he was going to end up killing him. And he was like, he said Zsa Zsa Gabor, he'd never have her on a show. He thought she was like the dumbest, just like full of hot air person that existed. So that is how those two linked up.
I love it, dude, because she pulls off a great scream. Because when he transforms into Freddy and goes to Slasher, she screams and Jennifer like turns the TV off. And it's all static and shit. She goes up to it and the fucking electronic Freddy arms burst out. And the way this is shot, the way it looks, I know this is an odd comparison, but just for whatever reason, in my mind, the scene in Labyrinth when David Bowie is walking upside down and he takes that step and comes right side up and faces Jennifer Connelly in the Escher room. For whatever reason, And it may, it maybe it's the same angle from that side angle, the way that, the robot
that's gotta be it, yeah.
It picks her up, but it looks so surreal and magical and real all at the same time, because it is real. It's practical. This is really happening in front of the camera, so that's why it's so good. It that's the and it gives me the frissons, bro.
This was a kill that I saw as soon as I got the internet in my house. I feel like as soon as we got dial up, I just started seeing this kill like everywhere. I had never even watched. I probably didn't even watch the first one yet, but I saw this shit like all the time.
This has to be the time.
Most, yeah, ma'am. Welcome to prime time, person.
I forgot who said this last night, but they were like, "Yeah, she wanted to be on TV, but she ended up in the TV."
It's probably Evan.
Okay. Probably, okay. Yeah.
Shout out to Evan.
Shout out.
Yeah.
No, that Freddy, was awesome. Freddy burst out the TV, and he. This is the one line in the film that was improv by Robert Englund, so this was not in the
script.
Shout out,
Rob.
And it has become his most iconic line as Freddy Krueger.
It started a whole thing with Freddy, man. He just loves calling people bitches.
Right. Welcome to Prime Time, bitch needs to be like a sample before a breakdown in a song.
Oh, for sure.
What's the pick call?
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
Nice.
That's why I be telling people stay spooky, bitches, man. Freddy gave me the gravitas to do it. He was like, it's okay to call everyone bitches. You call everyone a bitch. Ain't got to be a That's woman. Right. It's everybody.
Equal opportunity bitchery.
It's all of y'all. Y'all all some bitches. I'm a bitch. We're all bitches. Welcome to prime time, bitch. And you get the goddamn.
Bitching ain't easy, but it's necessary.
The Freddy face slam into the television.
Bitch.
Yeah. So we get the funeral.
That was a hard bitch.
That's a good bitch.
Yeah, bro.
And all of a sudden, goddamn nun Amanda Krueger pops out of nowhere and starts talking to Dr. Gordon.
That is the creepiest woman alive. Well, I'm sure she's not alive.
Yes, Amanda. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Also, man, the main reason that Freddy's Freddy. So,
yeah. Wait, man. What? No, it's not her fault though.
Oh, it's all her fault.
No.
Oh shit.
No, Trevor. It's the whole opposite.
It's all her fault.
He's gonna double down. She got raped
by 100 maniacs.
By like 100,
100 maniacs. Trevor,
that quote kept her.
Dude, that's the part I don't like
for a while.
The fact that the fact that they said they hit her.
Like, they hit
like,
her.
No,
there,
man. Fuck.
Yeah.
This is you don't. You're not.
Oh man.
Whatever way you were brought into this world does not determine the person you are. And the fact that he was, it's like, he's the son of 100 maniacs, the bastard son of 100 maniacs. It's like,
yeah. He doesn't have one father, he has 100, so he's a bastard.
Oh my God.
I got more dads than you.
But I guess they're all out of wedlock. That's 100 dads out of wedlock, right?
All my dads can whip your dad's ass.
That's where I was going.
She fucking splits like ASAP. The moment Nancy fucking comes around the corner. So Gordon and Nancy, they're talking about like this Malaysian dream doll.
Before we get to this scene, and I'm sorry to cut you off, I just want to appreciate.
Oh no, it's fine, Ricky. Go ahead.
Thank you, Cody. I appreciate you, bud. I just want to mention that when I started this franchise, I didn't think I would have like a strong gothic theme and like atmosphere, but in this movie it really delivers with all the Catholic shit and the nun and fucking candles and the fucking dreamscapes with into the fucking church and man, like I'm just loving the setting of this film.
There's more coming. You saw four but there's more coming.
Oh yeah,
there is.
Big time.
Yeah, I'm digging the gothic setting, and I just never expected that. You look at Freddy Krueger, you don't think, "Oh, gothic shit." But
more
you know,
like industrial,
there it is. right, more like,
yeah,
like
with the boiler
literally
room and all that.
I think of boiler rooms.
Neil basically Neil Gordon, he tells Nancy that, like, you know, tell the kids about Freddy, whatever, after they talk about that little dream doll, because he has no idea how to fix this situation. So Nancy has them describe, and it's like the dirty brown hat, the burnt face. He's a human barbecue. He's got razor blades. And, you know, like, they're like, yeah, that's who we're dreaming about. And she's like, this is Freddy Krueger. He was a child molester, a murderer. And he died and has become this dream demon fucking harsh thing that you're all having to deal with now on top of your worldly problems. Now you gotta, when you go to bed, it's not enough that the world sucks, but when you go to sleep, your only solace, your only escape, the only thing you can actually get away and do that doesn't involve, you know, the hellscape that is your life. Oh, this guy's here waiting to kill
it's
you.
It's very scary for someone like me. I nap to escape a lot of my problems in life.
Mm.
It'd be like that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
And these movies are the exploration of, like, there is no escape. Once you go there, and then it's more and more, and it's just running from problems, running from it. And they're trying to outrun this motherfucker. She tells them the story of Freddy and how the parents burnt them alive and that they are the last remnants of the parents from Elm Street.
Of the Elm Street children.
Yeah. I like the way they said that.
They talk about, too, like how Freddy got all his charges dropped and shit. And I'm like, man, who the fuck? Justice system, what did y'all do wrong here?
They dropped the ball over there in, what is it, like Ohio? Where they're supposed to be at?
Yep.
Springfield, Ohio. right next to the palm trees. Yeah. Really they dropped the fucking tropical coconut.
They were too close to Canada in the 60s, man. That's all I'm saying. although unable to believe it at first, the kids are like, fuck it. This is what's really going on, because it's Freddy Krueger. And Nancy starts to espouse, like, you all have these powers. Like, Kristen has this gift. You all can have this gift. We need to find out what your gift is. And they go under group hypnosis. They all drop acid and heroin together.
That sounds like a time.
Not really, but they do. And they go into the dream world. And this is what's so stupid.
I love these shots of the fucking metronome thing. The pendulum.
With the light, like, shining straight down on it, how it catches it.
Dude, like, all this is, like, so dope. The way this shit is shot.
I found it very distracting. I'm like, I can't stop looking at the fucking metronome and the light and the way it catches it, and, like, trying to figure out exactly what it would look like if in real life if I were standing next to it. It's all I could think about.
I fell asleep and I shit lava straight through my fucking recliner, dude.
Damn. Sam, you need to go to a hypnosis therapy or something. You might maybe find something there, you know? I don't know. Maybe, and I'm not hating on hypnosis. I've never undergone it, so I don't know what people do. So that
I'm going to add that to my bucket list. I'd like to be hypnotized at least.
Yeah, it seems like it would be kind of dope.
What if it was something like embarrassing that happened to you during the
hypnosis? You wouldn't even know about it. Dude, my whole life hypnosis can work on me.
It can't be any worse than going to the dentist.
Dude, like,
fuck yeah,
man, I've done some embarrassing things, and like, I just, you know, whatever.
What if they hypnotize you into stealing all your stuff?
That would be problematic. That would suck. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll work on me. I'd be like, sorry, not on this steel trap.
Said so you're like a jackal. You got a cage.
Yeah, the jackal. That's my boy. That makes me think of Danny DeVito from the episode of Sunny when they go to therapy. And he's like, you can't unzip me. You can't unzip me. And like 2 minutes in, like, he's just like crying. It's like, she got in, that bitch. He's like mad at her.
Well, they get into the dream world. And at first, Gordon's like, I don't know if this is really even happening. But then Will stands up out of his chair and he's like, in my dreams, I can walk. And
my legs are strong.
I'm a wizard.
I'm a
wizard master.
I am the wizard master. And he catches that phantasm sphere in his hand.
Yeah, he does.
You know, when they first started doing that, what was it called, Ricky? The Newton's ding dong? Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
just looked it up recently,
Newton's
right?
Ding dong. Yes. No.
Newton's ding dong. That's right.
The balls thing that go back and forth.
Oh yeah. Newton's balls.
Newton's ding dong and balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
when we first saw those, I was like, that looks like a CGI, but there's no reason it would be CGI. And then all of a sudden they start flying around and I was like, oh, all right.
Oh, cool. Lord's have mercy. We haven't even, we actually did.
CGI.
No, but yeah, my boy's a little nerdy wizard master and he turns that ball into a butterfly. And then Kristen's like, in my dreams, I like gymnastics. And
in my dreams, I have a stunt double.
She flips. Yeah. She flips through the room all crazily and Kincaid's like, in my dreams, I can bend chair legs, and he bends a chair. So he's super strong. Taryn's like,
in my dreams, I'm a street shark.
Blades.
She'll bay as hell.
She looks wild.
Yeah. I love her so much. Yeah.
That glitter, that glittery fucking street shark chick. Yes. She's great.
That mohawk is crazy.
Meanwhile, I'm sneaking out the room that nurse.
I like the fact that, like, she's got, like, the ponytail in the back still, too. Like, it's kind of like a mohawk mullet thing. Like, I really fucking dig it.
So wild. Amazing.
So Joey goes fucking nurse.
He's doing his typical thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting his, bro.
Well, this is before anybody knew had their dream powers or anything. Yeah, they all wake up and they're like, oh, I guess it didn't work. And Joey sneaks off right away.
They're all none of them even realizing they're asleep yet. So that's right.
What's dope, though, is that this topless nurse is making out with him and then the tongue stretching and then the tongue spitting and then the tongue tying. It's just tongue on tongue on tongue action.
And all through this point, I'm still into it. Okay. Things get a little bit weirder once hell opens up underneath the bed and you've got all those skeletons underneath them.
It looks gnarly.
But you know what? Fuck it. I'm still into it.
This is the scene when we watched it last night.
Mentions cross, man.
When Ricky said, look, all those skeletons in the wall, all those little skeletons. That's the moment I knew I liked this movie more than part one. That was the moment it happened.
You shouted.
Yeah. I was like, that's like, it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, man.
Nothing in part one does this.
The first time I saw that shit.
The first time
I saw that shit, I was like, I paused it.
I like this movie less overall because of this specific part. So
that's really
different strokes.
Yeah, definitely.
Dude, the first time I saw this, I literally paused it and I was like, I'm going to eat a gummy. I'm going to eat an edible right now, and I'm going to wait a few minutes, let it kick in, and then I'm going to back the scene up a little bit because I just want to see this in a different, dude.
I will say I like it more now than, I used to not like any of the sequels.
Oh, wow.
So Freddy is basically keeping Joey hostage, and then all of a sudden the therapy room turns into that room in Star Wars, the trash compactor scene. And the walls start closing in on everybody and they're freaking the fuck out and they're burnt. The walls are burning their hands. And then Nurse Ratchet walks in and everyone is fucking strung out on the floor, asleep on heroin. Just that's what it looks like. I'm just saying.
Pyod
as fuck. And she's like, God damn, all y'all got pyod. Y'all done made too much rice.
Bruh, they went to someone's camp. Got pyod, they cooked, they ate, now it's ass, bro. They all asleep.
They shot the squirrels, they made the fucking rice and gravy. Everybody brought a case.
They all had seconds.
They done. Mm-hmm.
Thirds
even. And they done. Yeah. They done, cousin.
And they in Patasa. They way over there in Patasa. Ain't no way nobody's driving home, dude. You better just crash on the floor, partner.
They on the school board property, cuz. They way out there. They way out there, cousin.
No.
Oh, yeah. They went down Bieber Road, and they done got drunker than fuck. She blames all this on the Hypnosil, and she's like, this is crazy.
They all wake up, except for Joey, because he's in a sex coma.
Yeah.
My boy's done. Yeah. Wet dream. Wet dream. Mm-hmm. Has anyone had one?
Stoggy.
Yeah.
I think most people have them.
Once
you probably just don't remember them.
Oh, I've had them.
Well, I mean, when you wake up, it, you know.
Ricky's like, no, I don't.
No. Never.
Gordon eventually fucking leaves, and he goes and sees, I forget why he goes there. He breaks in to this fucking tower. This is how you do it, y'all. If you don't know how to be a locksmith. If you ain't got locksmith skills, you just pick up a big ass rock and smash it. This is the American way, bro.
This is like, if this were D&D, the DM asked him, like, what's your lock picking skill? And he was like, minus two. And he's like, okay, I'm going to pick up a rock and hit it. But he just like rolled a natural 20. So it just worked. That's what this is.
He gets up
one
in there.
Swing.
He talks to Amanda Krueger again, and this is when she gives the backstory. Hey, man, the only way to stop Freddy is to lay him in hollowed ground. Like, he needs to be put to rest.
Yeah, hollow earth. Yeah,
hollow earth. And this might have actually been where we got the origin story. I think I fucked that up.
It is. Yeah, this is where you find out the ucky part. Mm-hmm. And this is where all that fucking gothic atmosphere is just dripping
on the balls.
When Nancy goes and visits fucking Joey in the hospital, and Freddy scratches out on his chest,
calls her a bitch. By the way,
get him,
very
bitch.
Rude.
Yeah, dude.
Get him, bitch. Yeah.
That scene, magnifique, just amazing. Magnifique. Apparently, John Saxon has been
partying.
Yeah,
he's been partying, bro.
He's been sipping, and
well, her mom was a drunk too, so they must. I know they were divorced, but they must have, you know,
partied hard back
together. Yeah.
They probably met at a bar. Yeah, and that's how Nancy came to be. Yeah.
And I like the way
that's how they got married.
I like the part where she's like, no, you're the one trying to forget. You know, mm-hmm. I just thought that was.
And as she says that, he takes a shot.
Yep.
Right. And I'm not trying to shit on Heather's acting in this scene or nothing like that. I'm just saying, like, I feel like she's doing good, and John Saxon is over there just being...
John Saxon's over there just outclassing her. But, you know, that's my boy.
This scene is upsetting, and it's done very well.
It is. It's emotional, man.
Gordon eventually is like, look, you go get with the kids. I'm gonna deal with your dad.
And wrong move, by the way. God, I'm just gonna put my hands on this cop in public.
Totally.
Just like the balls on this weird man. Like, no, man. This isn't what you do. Man. I'm just saying.
Like,
this isn't what you do, bro.
But like, you Jesus, the first thing he does, he goes over there and flips a table over, like, oh, I'll tell you what, your daughter, man. And he grabs John Saxon, and that's what it took, though. It took that. In this movie, it took him being fucking aggressive with him, and then John Saxon was like, oh, well, maybe, then, I guess. all of this fucking shit you're saying and doing, oh, you grabbed me in public. I am a cop. I have a gun. I could easily shoot you. It's the 80s. No one would fucking care. So he believes the
everyone's
guy.
On coke. They don't care.
Or the shot kicked in, and he was just crazy enough to do it.
Either whatever works, baby.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Travis said last night that, like, he's like, maybe he kind of just respected that the way he just. And I was like, okay, okay, Frank.
Yeah.
Just grab.
I feel like as soon as the table gets flipped, you don't wait for somebody to put your hands on you to see what they say. You're like. Time to go. You're either fleeing or fighting immediately once that table's over.
Oh yeah, you flip a table. I am in shock. I will admit, like, shock would be my first reaction. Is like, wow, a table got flipped. But then immediately would go to it's go time. I guess there should have been a bit of a scuffle.
I'm not at the table that got flipped.
No, I don't want to be.
Maybe he was just too drunk. He was just
oh,
like,
thank
dude,
God
I
that
am.
Wasn't my table.
I want to be the guy that's cucking
the next,
this
the table
flip.
Next to me.
Yeah. I'm cucking the table flip, Sam.
I heard.
Yeah,
oh,
good.
Oh.
Sam, I'm cucking it.
Sam, I'm doing my part. I'm not participating in the cuck joke. I'm just saying.
Well, I was going to say I see you, Rick, but I don't see you. You're always ominously in shadow.
He's a
I likes to keep it Blair Witch, bro.
He's a Skinamarink.
Hold up.
You're more Outwaters than Blair Witch.
Now I'm Skinamarink.
There you go.
I see you, Ricky.
Shaking that ass. Yeah.
Oh!
John Saxon and Bill Maher go to a cemetery where, no, it's not a cemetery. Is it?
Beginning of a joke.
They go to a junkyard.
Cars. Yeah.
While Nancy goes back to the hospital to gather up the kids, and they all agree to go into the dream world, and Kincaid's like, let's go kick this motherfucker's ass. And he's
all over dreamland.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So they're ready to fucking do the goddamn thing. Gordon and, well, there's a few things that happen here, but for brevity's sake.
They go to
the
church.
Yeah, they go to the church, and they get the keys to go to the fucking, They get the holy water and the crucifix. That is actually important for what's happening.
My man leaves his driver's license for that crucifix.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to return that shit.
Yeah.
Nancy goes and gets the kids, and they're all on board. And they go to that fucking junkyard to dig up Freddy's remains. He had got like this unceremonious burial. And,
well, no, it was in a trunk. His remains were just like in a trunk in a sack.
He's like in the trunk of Christine, as you put it last night.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Good way to put it.
Nancy tells Kincaid, Will, Taryn that Joey and Kristen need their help, and they all do this. How do they all put themselves to sleep? Do they take a drug? Do they take the hypnosis? No.
They do the metronome.
Yep. Yeah,
because I'm like, this again. All right, good. I'll get a better look at it. What's happening?
See, this is where we go into the nightmare world where there are all these fucking padded walls and shit getting ripped to shreds. And the group are all like in the center of the room.
Oh!
The padding starts to like go away. And Kristen is back in her bedroom working on that model house.
It's like a little,
this is where he separates them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say they go into the dream world and they go into Kristen's padded room. Like, they all meet her there, because that's a cool shot, like, closing in on her. And then all of a sudden it, like, comes back out and everybody's in there before the room gets torn up. Yeah, and then they get separated and each one has their own problem.
They got to deal with these problems, dude. Kristen's got her mom coming back in there from the beginning of the movie, and the fucking dude downstairs who's like, where's the bourbon? Turns out it's Freddy this time, and he fucking rips her mom's head off, decapitates
her. And her mom's still fussing, bro. Yapping. Just yapping even, dude. Like, god damn.
Kristen fucking gets the hell out of there, though. She jumps out of a fucking window like it's Friday the 13th or something. But instead
and
of,
ends up she, in Freddy's house. She fucking, house.
She fucking so dives out that window, bro.
I love this transition to the next.
But she does that sweet scene. Power Rangers flip before she does that.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Well, it's because she has stunt double powers.
So. Right.
Yeah, man.
And then, isn't in the next scene where like Taryn and Freddy meet in this back alley somewhere and they start having a knife fight?
Yeah. Well, when he turns his claws into syringes. Yeah.
This sweet, like,
that
blue switchblade, like, reveal. Like,
yeah, she has the double blades.
Yeah.
You know?
It was all good until he brought out the heroin.
Yeah.
Right.
I really didn't like the little arm vaginas.
Yeah.
I hate them. It looks like little vaginas pulsating, man. The veins are hungry.
All her little heroin holes turn into sucky lips, and they want that fucking heroin. Yeah,
oh,
dude.
Man.
What's she that Heisenberg heroin? That blue.
The blue.
Oh,
meth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue
dude.
Sky, bro.
Because it's blue. I guess I don't know what heroin looks like, but it's like brown, right? Not blue.
I don't know.
Blue like that.
I think. I don't know. I'd really
don't.
It don't turn blue. No,
that,
it don't
that
turn
black,
blue like that.
That black tar, man. That's what I heard them call it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any experience with it, but you know.
I like that. I don't like it, but that fucking that fucking black tar heroin that they put in their eyes like eye drops.
Oh my god,
that's hardcore as fuck.
That's fucked up.
Yeah,
I didn't know crazy. About that.
You it can is. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh drugs. Yeah.
If I'm gonna, I'm gonna say something right now. If I'm gonna go off on drugs and just throw my life away, I'm gonna do it fucked up, and I'm gonna go. I'm gonna put crocodile in my eyes, bro. Like eye drops. Yeah.
On the Why next not? Episode of the nightclub, Ricky's eating Trevor alive.
Ricky jammed crocodile in his urethra and ate Trevor.
The next fucking kill is Will. Will shows up being a nerd as fuck. And he's
Hell
like,
yeah. Well,
he's like,
well
in the
first,
name of Wizard Master.
And just to compliment, like how dark the last scene was with the addiction and whatnot. This kid, you know, he's in this chair and you get this fucking medieval torture device of a fucking wheelchair that's chasing him around. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's just the subject matter with some of these side characters is so dark.
Yeah. You
know, strange.
He does get run down by a chariot.
Like way darker than it deserves to be or needs to be, you know?
And it is over the top, but for as heavy as this movie has been up until this point, I mean, of course, it's
he's about to turn into Count Chocula and blow
no,
it up. So
shit,
it doesn't
he looks
matter.
More like Dracula than a fucking wizard.
Yeah. Oh, with his little fucking cape and shit.
With his crazy ass collar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like,
what's
that,
like shoulder pads under there or something?
Yeah, he's like talking about the Prince of Elves. Like there's like all the elves
in
the world.
I wrote
only
down.
Have one prince. Like,
I wrote
come
this
on,
down
man.
Specifically because he's doing spells and he says, "In the name of Lorik, Prince of Elves, demon be gone!" And he fucking launches this spell at Freddy, and Freddy's just like, "Oh, and he don't give a fuck." Yeah.
I love Ricky's problem is the logic. He's like, you think all the elves in the world only have one prince?
Dude, like, there's not a, like, the fucking, dude, like, all right.
Lord of the Rings, I get it. Yeah,
I'm not going to get into it. There has to be, right?
Yeah.
There's no way. There's no way one elf is, like, ruling them all, okay?
There were at least three rings dispersed in Lord of the Rings. If we're going off that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There should be at least three. Thank you.
Maybe it's the dream elf.
It's the dream elf, Lorik. But I like when Freddy picks him up, he's like, sorry, kid. I don't believe in fairy tales.
Poop on that nerd.
He poops on that nerd and kills
him
to death.
Poop on that nerd with this one, kills him to death. That's what you get for having one elf government, bitch.
What a nerd. This ain't the one elf world order, you fuck. Kristen goes through the house looking for Nancy. She finally finds her, and Kincaid shows up. He's fucking being super strong and shit, and they're happy that he's there. And Kincaid
he's
starts
got the
fucking,
fucking
talking
he's got
shit.
He's got the fucking armband and the suspenders,
oh, shit.
And I'm like, why is he dressed like a skinhead? I don't like it.
yes, man. Holy shit.
I don't like it.
Oh.
I'm just saying, dude. Like, I'm like, this is a
I
weird.
I don't like it.
I don't see like suspenders it. And a tucked in shirt, and I think, I think Edward Norton.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I don't.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't,
yeah.
You could have
Edward Norton, renowned skinhead,
right? renowned factual skinhead Edward Norton.
Damn! Yes. Wow!
Calling you out. We're calling you out, Edward Norton. Shout out,
Edward.
Very Lovecraftian.
Edward, I've met that man in real life. He's a very nice person.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was upset with Louisiana's plight whenever that BP oil spill happened.
Oh, yeah, that was shitty.
Awkwardly upset for a place he doesn't live in, but I respect it. Kincaid is talking mad shit at this point. He is like, Freddy, you pussy, where you at?
Oh,
Freddy?
Man. I love it when he's like, I knew he was a little chicken. You just called this man all kind of pussies, and now he's a little chicken. And I love that. I love that so much.
He's talking shit like he's the Rock, bro. Like that.
Yeah, he didn't want to go full Kelly Rowland on him. He's cutting a promo.
Yeah, no, He didn't want to call him a bundle of sticks. No.
Oh no,
we're not doing that. We're not.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
Cali roll.
Kelly Rowland
did that. You gotta pay for that kind of coverage.
Oh,
damn,
we're gonna get to it.
Oh, Kelly Rowland goes deep, bro.
With the Chuddles, they'll be there for that one.
Look, who's Kelly Rowland?
She's the girl, black girl in Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, for sure.
One of Destiny's Child, right?
Yep.
Yeah. One of Destiny's children, if you will.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
One of Destiny's days.
Yes.
Dr. Gordon and Donald, they fucking show up in that salvage yard. They dig up the goddamn Freddy corpse. And Freddy decides, like Ricky said it earlier.
Decides to Army of Darkness's ass out of the ground and fight. Yeah. Dude, even though this came out before Army of Darkness, and it looks just as good.
This shit looks amazing.
So yeah, it does. Show us those nipples.
Yeah, boy.
This shit looks amazing.
I'm plugging in my phone. Otherwise, you won't get to see my nipples.
Oh, Tebu.
Oh, everyone.
Oh shit.
Yeah, they go full Harryhausen on his ass. And what surprised me, and I didn't remember this, Donald gets fucking killed, man.
Yeah.
Which one is Donald? Is that the dad?
This John Saxon, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't he, like, pick him up by the balls and throw him into, like, a bar or something?
Bike. He gets, like, thrown into cars and impaled.
Yeah, man.
He gets it bad. And in the dream world, all of the kids are getting sucked into, like, mirrors and shit.
Until Quiet Boy shows up and Banshee yells.
Which is another awesome fucking effect.
Yes.
The hands coming out and shit.
That is all awesome, but I did fucking skip over that. They do find Joey, who was not dead in the dream world, so not dead in real life, and they rescue him. And
he's still busy. He's still kind of tied up.
But yeah, so the mirror scene happens, and I love the distorted effects on the mirrors, like when Freddy's pulling the kids into the mirrors.
Yeah.
That shit looks fucking awesome, and it's not like high level, but it's just looks good. For whatever, and yeah, my boy screams no, like he's Darth Vader, and all the kids start fucking blasting out all the mirrors,
no.
Like no, and Freddy lets him go. They all get set free. Before the skeleton fight, they did dig a grave for Freddy's bones, though, and they manage when Freddy leaves the bones because he's not omnipresent, so he's not a god.
I love this part. This part's so funny. Right.
Yeah, he fucking leaves the bones and the bones collapse and he goes back to the dream world.
He fucking throws his arms up like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, when he celebrates.
Oh, yeah, he fucking half buries Bill Maher and he's like, yeah, that's enough. I win. He fucking goes back to the dream world, but he goes back in the guise of Donald talking to Nancy and he's like, I'm dead now, Nancy. I'm sorry that I was such a shitty dad or something.
I'm so glad they didn't actually do that because you find out that it's Freddy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, no he way. Stabs her.
No way.
When I saw the dad and I was like, man, please tell me they're not really doing that. I was glad.
It
would have
been
to
really
see Russell.
It would have been really
I'm glad
cheesy.
You were glad, Rick.
Yeah.
Don't get mad.
Don't get all gushy on me right now, please.
Get glad.
Get glad.
We're glad we're the sponsor of the Nightclub podcast.
Congratulations.
And also, pack it in, plug it in, Glade, sponsor of the Nightclub podcast. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Buy our sponsored butt plugs.
Plug it in and pack it in.
Yes.
Yeah. With new attachable model to the butt saber.
We're gonna like alternate designs from like the episodes on the back of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna have all the designs, all the things I draw. Sam, are you ready for yours to get shipped?
Yeah.
Good.
Hell yeah.
Keep all my emotions inside.
That's it, bro. That's what you gotta do, bro.
Freddy's fucking pissed because he got stabbed by goddamn Nancy. No, he stabs Nancy. Nancy turns it around on his ass.
Catches him in the gizzard.
Catches him slipping because he's talking to somebody. Who's he talking to? He's like, "You're mine now, little piggy."
Oh, he's about to get Arquette.
Oh shit.
He's about to get Chris.
And some more, you know, good acting from her.
While Nancy's stabbing Freddy up in his chest full of screaming faces, skipped over that fucking dope ass so scene. Dude.
That is cool. I do like that.
I want a shirt that is the Ripped Away Freddy sweater, but it's the faces on the shirt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
T-shirtable?
T-shirtable.
Yeah. Like a shirt that looks like a slash.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. Gordon kicks the fucking bones into the grave and starts pouring the holy water on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is Ricky's favorite kill scene. Maybe. You love how he spins around.
Oh. Yeah, the way Freddy's spinning around while he's dying. Light shining everywhere, screaming with a glowing cross hole on his head. Dude.
Oh, bitch! Oh.
Yeah, this part's comical and I love it.
It's a cool Freddy kill, and we get, like, unlike, you know, some of the characters in slasher movies, sometimes they kind of die, but not really. Freddy dies a lot. I'm just saying, like, Freddy gets murdered a lot in these movies, and this is one of the cooler kills because of the tie-in to the bones and the holy water, and Ricky's loving that Catholic drip, the Gothic drip, and that holy water drip on them bones, and my boy bursts into light. Unfortunately, Nancy is dead. Nancy dies like her dear old daddy. We do have some survivors, though. Some of the Dream Warriors have survived this fateful night. Joey's horny ass, Kincaid.
And Arquette, man.
And Arquette.
Kristen.
Yeah.
There's a shot at the end of this movie where Gordon goes to sleep, and he has that Malaysian dream doll, and he has the model house of 1428 Elm Street right by his bedside.
Why the fuck would you keep them both?
Yeah, get rid of them.
Love this.
Throw that
shit away. Love this ending. I absolutely love this ending.
As he goes to sleep, a bedroom light in the model house comes on, hinting that Freddy might still be alive.
Yep. Living in that house.
Cut to fucking credits, bro.
He is a tiny man. It's because Travis came around and
I made him
so
short. I made him so short. All you can do is live
into
in that model
popsicle
house.
Yeah.
Paper mache.
You live in my paper mache house now, Freddy. How you feeling, boy?
Hello, fella.
Was a Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors, a fucking sequel that a lot of people hold up to and sometimes over the original. So tonight we're going to give our final thoughts and ratings on this movie, and we're going to get down to the nitty gritty and see how we all feel. I normally start us off, and I guess I'll start us off tonight again, give everybody else the chance to say the goddamn thing. I love the original. I love part 2. Not as much as I thought I did. Seeing this movie with fresh eyes, part 3, the movie we just talked about the other night when we watched it, it had been a long time since I had seen this movie. The acting and the cinematography were the things that stood out the most to me. The special effects I always knew were amazing, and I know, like Ricky said, like you just come up seeing this shit. Even if you ain't seen the movie, you've seen a lot of these kills. But I had this movie given me nuances that I never really experienced before. I mean, it's a 10, right? Like it's a 10, but as far as compared to the original, it's really hard. Like I want to say I like it more, but when I think about the original movie and some scenes from it and the gritty aspect of that movie, how it actually does look, it looks cheaper, but in a way that's to me a compliment. And in a way that makes it more raw, like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre raw versus a flashier version. I don't know if I could, like, and I know that's not really the point of this, is to like say I like it more or less. So right. I'll say part one and part three are both tens. I think this movie deserves its.
Oh, we're rating part one in this episode?
No. No, I'm just talking about.
Like, I'm just trolling, man. I'm sorry.
Where I'm at. Right. But like, I think they're both amazing movies. And if you're just going to say, I'm only going to watch a few movies from this franchise, these are probably the two you want to go with, is part one and part three. Part three is a fucking 10.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I've officially seen this one 3 times. It's my favorite of the franchise. It's a fucking 10. I love the atmosphere. I love the fucking characters. I love all the goofy Freddy stuff, bitch. I love the fucking effects. I love Arquette. Yeah, dude, this is a 10 straight up. This is my favorite so far.
Getting you to watch these movies, this is like, I was waiting for like when the fucking floodgates were going to open. And I thought, you know, part one, it's like a given, but
sure. And I had seen part one a handful of times anyway. So, you know,
part two, I was hoping that maybe, but you know, it didn't quite go the way I thought, but I kind of knew part three was going to be the clincher, and it's part three, man. Fucking Dream Warriors, baby.
Yeah, part two is fun, but you know, part three, dude.
I really liked the gore and the special effects in this movie. Some of it looked a little clunky, but like, I just love the aesthetic of it, though. As far as the storyline, coming off of the second one, it was definitely a very big improvement. Though I did like the second one. I can't remember what I rated it, but I did like it. Yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and give it that 10. Fuck it. Why not?
Fuck it.
So I can't, like, there's nothing I can really, like, complain about.
I wish you would have been there for the watch along, because I would have liked to have gone through the movie with you. We've been doing that like a little bit lately, not for every movie, but some of the movies we review, we watch together beforehand. I kind of would have liked to have gone through it with you to see like or hear your reactions and thoughts as we went through it. But so a 10 straight up?
Straight up. Like, I'm not even a nightclub thing, just a regular 10. Like, I don't have any complaints. And I think it's the special effects that like really sold it for me. I liked how they use like the mental hospital as like the main set, mm-hmm. and just the idea behind it, right? Showing some cleverness on Freddy's part. I like that they brought back some of the old characters. That's a fucking movie.
That's an aspect of it that I never would have thought about until we talked about it tonight, was how opportunistic Freddy is. Like, I didn't even think about that until we talked about it.
Yeah, he's a real bastard.
Man, I've watched this movie hundreds of times. I'm guessing. This used to be one of the ones that I always rented. And my previous watch, from not seeing it in like a few years, because like I usually watch the Friday the 13th franchise more for some reason, even though like at all, like I've always pretty much liked them equally. But anyway, but from this viewing, like I still love it, and I love the array of characters. Like, there's a lot of, you know, characters in this movie, but they're not all the same. They each have their own personality. I like how the story unfolded. Like, it wasn't
the pacing's really good.
Yeah, right. Agree. Like it wasn't bunch. Like, it wasn't all, you know, together. It, you know, it took its time, and it came out in layers.
And that's saying a lot for a movie that's only an hour and a half. It's an hour 35, but it felt like it took its time, but it wasn't also all jumbled. That's saying a lot.
It's a good script. That's why.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, it's a really tight script, and it seems like this one really plays off part one and like it does continue, you know, from like it relates to that story. Mm-hmm. And, when it got to the end and Freddy started doing his mystic jumping dimensions kind of shit, it really floored me. Like, the whole lore, the whole story of what he actually is, I don't know, man. It got the wheels turning.
But creative juices flowing. Yeah.
Oh, dude, and yeah, it's a 10 for me. It's a straight up 10, man. You know, it's my childhood. And
it's a goddamn 10, boy.
Goddamn 10, cousin. Samuel Manuel.
I'm going to go ahead and use the Chuddle scale because I don't know any other way to figure out what I think of a movie.
He knows no other way.
So
engaging.
Engaging, yeah. That's going to be 0.5. Unfortunately, the third act for this movie, like pretty much after the heroin needle sucking arms during the whole portal dimension parts, like I always find myself kind of falling off and not paying as much attention. So only a 0.5 there. Sticky is going to be a full one because like that mostly because of two deaths, which were the big ones we talked about, the TV death and the, marionette puppet death are just like forever memorable. And because sort of conceptually, I remember it because Nancy comes back and this is the one with Hypnosil and dream, you know, nightmare suppression. T-shirtable, full one for T-shirtable. A lot of cool imagery in this movie. I totally like enough to wear it on a shirt. Cockles is probably going to be another half. Again, just because of the, it just loses me at some point, at that, towards the end of the movie. And rewatchable.
Little lost boy.
Yeah. Rewatchable will get half as well because, it's always going to be like, if I want to watch A Nightmare on Elm Street, I'm pretty much always going to watch the first one. I would only really revisit this if I'm watching more than one of their movies. I wouldn't be because I was watching the franchise necessarily, because I would watch this outside of a franchise rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just kind of where it is for me. Like I said, up until recently, I didn't even like anything aside from the first one. I was like, it's all a fucking joke and lame after that. So that puts me at 3.5 out of 5. That feels good to me.
Yeah. That feels good.
That's
in
a
your
solid score.
Score.
That's a seven out of 10.
Yeah.
On the nightclub scale, yeah, that's a lot. That's a well.
That's a little love.
That's love.
Little love.
That's love.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah,
I'm into it.
It's hard to not compare the first one whenever you're talking about.
Also,
this.
Also, you had a story about this movie that we need to cover.
Oh yeah, well that just goes into why I like it too.
Okay, let's do that shit.
Sweet.
So like I was saying, that it's hard not to compare it to the first one because I do feel, and I haven't seen the full series either. This is one of the few slasher ones like that haven't seen the full franchise, but I do love this one. I would probably put this one on actually before the first. And also to your point, Travis, I think the first is a better made movie. I think it took itself more serious. Mm-hmm. So it just had
absolutely
more of like a gravitas to it, I guess. But this one I find is more fun, which I gravitate. Like that's why I feel like I'd watch this one more than the first one, because I just have fun watching this one. Like I really do. Same thing with like, I love Amityville. It's About Time. It's a piece of shit, but it's so much fun to watch. And I'd much rather watch that than the first one, even though I think the first one is like a perfect movie, you know? But, oh yeah, that story, my girlfriend who is here right now and I'm about to move, we'll build a house with.
Yeah.
Our first date, we actually put this on.
Oh, nice.
And it's hard, and awesome. I didn't want to be like a horror nerd or anything, but we were just hanging out, and I was just flipping through stuff, and I couldn't help but want to click Nightmare.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, watch that fully, too.
Shout out to Madeline.
Yeah.
Hey, Maddie.
But, so, I don't know, I do agree with the end, the very end, it kind of does fall off, and there's, like, just little moments here and there that I feel like just droop. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's a fantastic one. I'd probably
It's a 10.
A 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10?
9 out of 10. A lot of love. A lot of love.
It falls off at the end, and it's a 10.
It's a 10?
That's how the night... You're learning how the Chuddle
and the nightclub scales work in tandem tonight.
Yeah. For sure.
Mr. Nick, final thoughts and ratings.
I give it a 10.
Yeah?
Hey. I mean, a lot of it's like nostalgia too, because I watched it a lot as a kid. It was the first Freddy I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And we had the tape. It was one of the few horror movies we had, so I watched it a lot. Like, it's a comfort one. I'll put it on, just playing while I'm like cleaning house or whatever.
I could see that for sure.
The kills are great. When he killed Jennifer in the TV, like the shot after she's dead of her just hanging out the TV, I still think that's like an incredible shot.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Like I would put that on a T-shirt, just that shot.
Oh, for sure.
Oh man, wicked.
And like there was parts that were funny, made me laugh. But yeah, 10.
I want a T-shirt with Taryn holding the fucking switchblades.
That's good.
That would be dope.
Or the nun on a shirt. I'd wear a shirt with it.
Yeah, 100%.
That nun is just.
I watched it last night again, and it was the first time I'd watched it in a while. And like her face,
she looks like the Conjuring nun, but like in real life without makeup. Yeah, she's terrifying, dude.
Thank y'all all so much for visiting with us tonight and talking about this movie. It's so fucking dope. I don't really know how else to say it. Sam from Chuddle the Pod. Everyone go listen to Chuddle the Pod. Follow them on all the fucking socials. And
subscribe to their Patreon.
Get on that Patreon.
Get a lot more episodes.
Yeah, dude.
And thanks for having me.
Always.
You get mailbag episodes, man. And cool, fun, random shit. It's great.
It's the best. And fucking, there's going to be links in the show notes too for Golgotha, Father Rust, whatever else they want to share. Gloomkeeper, like let's get that going. The TV found footage, Shitio, shot on Shitio stuff. Let's go. Give me all that.
Do it.
Also, some promos for the goddamn spooky crew up in there too.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's it, everybody. Dream Warriors, bitch.
It's Kodiko. And Mamu, so don't forget, can't read, eat my boogers, and I pee sitting down.
And you better not come around no mo, no mo, no mo.
Oh, shit.
My name's Trevor. You need to embrace mainlining coffee.
By way of teaspoon.
At
least.
Or straight into your AR.
Or tuck it into your foreskin. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Embrace the Hypnosil and discover your Freddy and get ready to get it witty.
Yeah, dude.
Keep it real, keep it squeezy. Touch your belly, touch me pleasey.
Hell yeah, dude.
Stay off the Hypnosil, discover your inner dream warrior, and stay spooky, bitches.